This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 229 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. Mike, you don't sound too thrilled. Usually you're like showmanship.
Oh,
you're like,
no.
My name is Mike. And you're like,
I just took a drink of that Crystal Light Pink Lemonade and it didn't go down well while I was talking. I shouldn't have.
Hey, get a little rasp in your voice now.
I shouldn't have had that beverage before I did my intro. I could do it again, but now it just sounds forced and.
Yeah. We're just going to keep rolling. We got places to go, people to see.
Yeah, we got things to do.
Yeah. My desk came in this afternoon.
Oh, nice.
Which was the final piece. Yeah. So now I can build my gaming center,
nice.
Which I'm very excited about. Nice. Yeah. I got most of it set up. I got to do the wires tomorrow and actually run. I've got channels, plastic channels that I'm going to run over the desk so that the wires are all kind of hidden.
Nice.
I got to set up the speakers. But, yeah, right now it's downloading games and the monitors are up on their arms and.
See that tape on the floor over there?
I noticed that when I walked in. I was afraid to step in it because I thought maybe there was going to be an anvil that dropped on me.
Well,
I was looking for the free birdseed sign.
In the future, you'd be crashing into an island.
Interesting. That's dangerously close to where the dishwasher opens, where the refrigerator opens.
Yeah, it all works. We can open the dishwasher. We can open the fridge.
Well, yeah, you don't get the tape.
Well, no. All right, see how there's the square and then there's the two pieces of tape that jut out the
edge? Affirmative.
That is a leaf. So when the leaf is down.
I'll leaf it up.
I won't leaf it.
Oh.
So when the leaf is down,
uh-huh.
You have that extra space over there by the washer, by the washing Jesus.
So you don't have to sidestep.
Right, right. And then when Kate's doing all her baking and stuff and she puts the leaf up for the extra counter room, you can still get in and out of the fridge. We did it. We put chairs there and put tape around the chairs type of thing to mimic it. You can still get in and out. It's a little bit tighter of a fit when the leaf is up, but
I bet.
It'll be nice to have for when she's doing all the baking and all that stuff.
Yeah. More counter space is always nice.
Yeah. Cause we actually don't have much.
No. And then when you add appliances.
That counter space over there is useless.
Yeah.
Cause it's not, yes, it is technically a countertop, but it's completely useless.
People are like, guys, we can't see this shit.
Yeah, I know.
You're pointing and saying that counter space over there, and we're all just huh?
Just take a picture of it, and we can use it as the image for this week's episode, and call this episode, That Counter Space is Useless.
Well, we may have to do that.
Snag a picture before you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, that made my job easier because now I don't have to come up with a title. So, Mike, did you watch some stuff this week?
I did.
Were you as disappointed this week as I was?
I don't know. What were you disappointed with?
Everything? Just in general.
This week felt really forced for me. It felt like every show I've watched basically felt like, oh, yes, I got to watch this. Oh, I got to watch this now. Oh. I don't watch this before we record on Monday. Every show really felt.
We dropped off a couple of good shows like Transformers and Muppets that, aren't there anymore.
It felt like a forced week.
It did, unfortunately. So why don't you jump in with something? By the way, let's start off with this. Did you decide to continue with either Away or Young Wallander?
So I did watch episode 2 of Young Wallander.
Okay.
I watched it last Monday after you left.
Mm-hmm. And?
It's a police procedural.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dislike it, but once again, the episode ended with, like, he's in peril. It's like the first episode ended with him being stabbed. The second episode ended with him being put in another form of peril. And it's like, hi, this is a show about a person that we've already established as an adult.
Yeah.
Actually, as an older man. So this all seems redundant and useless. So I'm not going to say I disliked it. I'm just going to say it was okay.
Gotcha.
I'll probably keep watching it.
Okay.
You know what I won't keep watching? Away. That's going away from my queue.
Did you watch the second episode?
I did watch it, yeah. Last
Is it all just drama again?
It's a soap opera.
Yeah.
It is a soap opera.
Good. Then
I mean, like, it is... It's a soap opera without the pauses for the long drawn looks. It's you know how they do that in soap operas?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the dramatic piano can
It's basically this could be on a ship on the ocean. Space is just the atmosphere they're in.
Love.
You know what I mean?
Exciting, like, and new.
It's just it's just not good. So I actually went and I read the synopsis on Wikipedia of all 10 episodes last night after I decided I am not watching any more of this. And I read all the synopses and I just went, I should have just done this before I watched any episode.
Did you want to go and watch Event Horizon just to cleanse your palate?
It was just every episode. It's just, yeah, it's like, just you go read them. Read them for yourself and be like, oh, now we're dealing with the daughter dating a guy that the stroke dad who's in a wheelchair doesn't like because he rides dirt bikes. What? That's the standout from this episode? Not the people going to fucking Mars, you know? Or one of the or the cosmonaut is going, has he lied about his vision and he's actually kind of going blind. And now, prime example. Remember in the first episode?
Yes.
How Hillary Swank had like, the one Indian guy or whatever nationality was it, like he was like going to bat for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chinese girl and the cosmonaut like didn't trust her. Well, now in this episode, she proved herself to the cosmonaut and they're like, oh, Dostavanya, and drinking and, you know, just happy. And he's like, and the guy that was all for her last episode was like, I went to bat for you. And what you did today was reckless and dangerous. And you have to be around for all of us. And he storms off. Well, he clearly has a crush on her,
mm-hmm.
but now we're creating conflict because now they've switched roles from the last episode to this episode of who liked her and who didn't like her, and now who doesn't trust her and who, you know, like, and I'm just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
So I'm done with Away.
Good. Not that I didn't want to hear more of your beautiful, but.
I made a jerk off motion.
Yeah.
I made a noise.
I'm not taking a picture of that.
No, please don't. But yeah, even Young Wallander was okay. I'll probably finish it at some point, but it's not enough that I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to watch another episode. It was more like, really? Really?
Yeah.
I watched episode 2 of Transplant.
Yeah.
It's okay. So I watched it today while Kate was doing something, and so I didn't make it a priority. I was like, oh, I got time. Before we record tonight, I'll watch this because I didn't want to watch any of next week's shows, quote unquote.
Right.
It was good. It didn't. It's a fish out of water story of like I was a very decorated doctor in my home country, but now I'm here in Canada and I have to start over again. But I'm going to see things that are happening and I'm going to do things I shouldn't be doing at my level because I'm a resident now. I'm not a surgeon anymore, trauma surgeon anymore. So
right.
I gotta remember to know my role, but I'm gonna be put in situations where I have to do things outside my realm because I don't want people to die.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, immigration drama and
drama.
My parents are dead drama. So like I said, I don't dislike it. It was good.
Okay. I watched the next episode of Room 104.
How was that?
The first two episodes were much better. This one was weird.
Yeah.
And you would have thought that it would have been good because it had Tony Todd and it had Orlando Jones.
That sounds like it would be good.
And I was like, this is great. But it was okay. It was weird. It was just very weird. Again, this is one of those that I really want you to get HBO Max and watch this show so that we can talk more in depth about it. But what I will tell you is episode 3 of The Vow.
Sure.
The one about the Nexium group there?
Yes.
Whoa.
Really?
So, like, the first episode, you're just, like, you're introduced to Mark, the woman Bonnie that he falls in love with, and this woman Sarah. Mark and Sarah both, you know, start this group, and they want to do good things for the world. It seems cool. It seems fine. Everything's good. Second episode, things start looking a little dark. This third episode, wow. We actually got to see, like, because you and I read the headlines. And it was, you know, Allison Mack involved in sex cult, trafficking women, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, this third episode was all Sarah who got into this. And it was, like, her firsthand accounts. And it was set up, dude. It was like multi-level marketing, except for where instead of, you know, your downline, instead of having people under you who were like, oh, these are my downline and these are my salesmen, they were your slaves. And that's what they were called. So, like, this woman has six women under her that are her slaves. And they do her chores for her. They rub her feet. They do whatever. Go ahead.
I'm raising my hand. It's 2020. They didn't establish, what 2005, maybe, when this was going on?
No, this was 2015.
Okay.
So just recently.
It's 2015, and they didn't realize the terminology of slaves was not negative.
Well, because when you were a slave, then you were expected to recruit six slaves of your own. So then you could have slaves. So
they
then
couldn't
it was okay.
think up a different word.
Apparently not.
They couldn't, like indentured servants would be bad,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
But slaves seems worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're a white person recruiting non-white people to be your slaves, that seems like not a cult I'd want to be involved in.
Yeah.
Or movement or whatever.
Is there a cult you'd want to be involved in?
No, there isn't. No, there is not a single cult.
It was just, it was really creepy because then they also had these things collateral where the woman above her, who used to be her friend and now was her master, and she had to, like, they showed the text. Like, she would have to sign off, you know, may I go to sleep, master? Yes, I'll see you in the morning. Thank you, master. I love you so much. And she had to give her collateral sometimes every 2 weeks, sometimes every month. And the collateral was always things like, at first it was make up a story. So she had to make up a story about how her husband beat her son and tell this woman and have it recorded so that it was basically blackmail.
You know, clearly.
She told her that it was so that she could prove her commitment to the cause. You know, and then the next week it was a nude photo. And I will hold on to it. It will be just me, because the guy who ran this whole organization would say, you know, oh, you could say, I'll give you my word, but that doesn't mean anything because the more times you say it, the less your word means because you're just giving out your word. But with collateralizing things, then you're actually putting your money where your mouth is, essentially.
And these are
intelligent
people, adults,
highly intelligent people. And then we got into the branding and how they were Allison Max and Keith's initials, and it's creepy as fuck. And
okay.
I can't wait for the next episode.
Okay.
Okay.
I just gotta say.
Yeah.
I know we live in a world with a lot of dumb people. A lot of fucked up people. People think the world's flat for some reason. Okay. Apparently there's a section of the world that feels that becoming a voluntary slave is cool.
Yeah.
That finding your own slaves is the way to be.
Yeah.
You know, making up stories of how your loved one assaults your child to be used against you is cool.
So that you could be called a slave?
Yeah. Giving naked photos of yourself to someone so you could then be called a slave and find your own slaves?
Yeah.
That
masks don't work and that they're just for the government to test and see if we're subservient?
You know, I wasn't going to go there on that one. but I'm just, now that you've opened the floodgates on that one, I'm going to say, did you see the lady, down in, was it fucking Utah, who made the comparison of wearing a mask to George Floyd?
Yeah.
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 So,
Jesus Christ,
it still
stupid
surprises
people.
Me how stupid people are when it really shouldn't, I guess. Hey. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
So anyway.
And then. Hey, I'm going to take this flaming red hot piece of metal that has my initials on it. I'm going to drive it into your pelvis.
Mm-mm.
How's that sound?
Nope. That's not what they did.
What'd they do?
They used basically like a soldering iron. Because she described what happened. And like when the six of them went in there, the other five had to hold one girl down at a time. And she was told over and over again, you know, you're not supposed to feel pain. You're not supposed to do this. Just this is for the best, blah, blah, blah. And they actually seared it into her skin. She was talking about how you could smell it, how it would take like half hour to 45 minutes per person. Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't even a branding iron?
No. This was somebody.
So I watched this happen to someone and think.
Five other people.
And think, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let them do that to me.
She said, she's like at the end, she was like, nope, I don't want this. And she told the woman that was in charge, she was like, I don't want this. And the woman's like, too bad. You're in this. Get on the table. But I'm being blunt about it. She was much more manipulative about it.
Oh, I'm sure she was.
Because it's a cult, you know? But yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, it's getting worse. Okay. But worse as in like the whole thing is worse, not like I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, why am I watching this? It's
right.
Fascinating.
Dark?
Wow, you really want to jump right in. Go for it. I got a lot of notes.
I know you do, and
we had the first episode was called Life and Death, and the second one was called Light and Shadow.
So, In 1987, Katrina, or Katarina, whatever, she's going to free Ulrich. Old man Ulrich. Here's what I don't understand. Why doesn't she go back further in time when he's younger?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, instead of when he's in his 60s or 70s, how old he is now.
Yeah, couldn't he tell her, hey, this is where I did. I went into the path. I took a right.
Yeah.
I ended up back there. Go find me there.
She has the machine.
Yeah.
She can go where she wants.
That's true.
He had to, you know, he went, yeah. So she's like, I'm going to free you by, I'm going to steal my mother's key card on her way home from, because she walks through this path. I'm going to meet up with her. I'm going to steal it from her.
Dude, this was the most awkward, stupid mugging I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
There's two of them walking alone in the woods, and her mother kept looking over her shoulder like, is this person following me? She's 10 feet behind her.
Right.
She's not even, like, trying to hide it.
And it's someone she recognized from when Katarina visited Ulrich at the asylum. So, basically, she accosts her mother with a knife, and is like, give me a key card. And she's like, no. And she's like, do it. And she's like, no. So then they get into a fight, and then she hits her mom with a rock. And then she says, like, oh, no. Then she's like, no, mama, don't do it. And she's like, what? You're my daughter? I'm going to run away from you. And then Katarina chases her down and then hits her with a rock and gets her purse and finds the key card. And then stares at it for a moment with her back turned to her mother who's on the ground. Oh, no, she's not. She's got a rock of her own and beats her daughter to death.
Yep.
Granted, she doesn't know it's her daughter. She thinks it's her daughter. She beats her to death and basically is like, you're an abomination. They sent you to come get me. I'm going to stop them. Yada, 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 yada.
But, I mean, let's be fair, because yep. Right after that, she goes home, finds her teenage daughter, and beats her.
And beats the shit out of her, basically saying, like, I should basically, like, I should kill you, too.
Yeah.
But here's what's key. During the struggle, Katarina gets the
pendant
off her mom. And then drops it in the sand on the beach, and it gets covered up, and that is where Jonas found it with Martha in 2019 and gives it to her.
Yep.
So that's how that's how the pendant got from, what's her name? Hannah to young Helen to Jonas and to Joel and Jonas and Martha.
Right.
At the same time, in 1987... Tanas tells Charlotte that she was given to him by two mysterious women.
Yeah, basically...
After his son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter were killed in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And she has no idea who her parents really are.
Right, he showed up and there were two weird women there, and they gave him that baby.
Yeah.
And the watch that said, for Charlotte.
Yeah. she meets up with a young Peter at the bus station, who's there to meet his father Helgi for the first time.
Wasn't that kind of cool? Like, yeah. Like in all of this show, that was kind of a romantic little thing. Even though you know that Peter later goes on to, you know, have multiple sexual encounters with the guy in the
trailer. But they got married and had two kids.
It was sweet.
Well, they got married and had Charlotte's mother. In 2019, in Otherworld, Eva's world.
I call it Dark World.
Yeah, sure. Basically, takes Martha to the power plant to prevent the apocalypse.
After they have the walk of shame.
Sure. They had the sex previously. Yeah. June Martha gets a cut on her face. That he recognized from, you know, September Martha gets a cut on her face that he recognized from June Martha.
Right.
You know, September 2019 Martha gets a cut on her face that he recognized from June 2020 Martha. That's how you got the cut. And basically Jonas is just like, fuck this.
Yeah. We're doing exactly what they want us to do.
So he goes back to confront old Martha about it. Mm-hmm. And that's when June 2020 Martha shows up and kills Jonas.
I called it the Council of Marthas.
Yeah.
Because you have June, September, old Martha, and then middle-aged one Martha. Like middle-aged Martha.
And she shoots and kills Jonas.
There was another Martha in there that had the giant scar on her face.
Well, that old Martha has the scar on her face, and so now all of a sudden June 2020 Martha has the scar across her eye, and she's big pregnant. She might be later on Martha because she's more pregnant now.
Yeah.
But then all old September Martha is all sad, super depressed that Jonas is dead.
Yeah.
But
he got killed the same way that she got killed in that one.
Sure. So here's what's funny or awkward or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is why middle-aged Jonas doesn't remember any of this because he's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow alive, which they explain in episode 6.
Kind of,
not really. Like, oh, we need to make shit up. So we're just going to say everything's a fucking infinity symbol loop. And somehow there was two Jonases and you took one to our world, but the other Jonas continued on in his world.
Yeah, she was talking about how it's the inside track and the outside track of the infinite loop. Two different realities.
It is a jump the horse.
Kinda, the
shark, I mean, type moment of ridiculousness.
Yeah. They were we've only got 3 episodes left to get this done, guys.
I have been able to accept the time travel. Now we got the alternate world. How fucking somehow Charlotte is Elizabeth's mom and daughter at the same time.
I know. We accepted that. We're like, wow.
I've accepted, but I did it. There's two tracks. So that means there's two of everybody. That's the only thing that can mean. Unless somehow Jonas is spent, but no. So that to me, I was a little pissed off at that. Because
we get to see the exact same scene where Martha dies,
right?
But then no other Martha shows up with a sphere, and he jumps out a window, and everything washes over. And then old Martha's like, "Oh yeah, see, it's the infinity symbol, and he's on the inside track, and the other one's on the outside track. No, so there's always going to be two.
No,
why?
No,
why just in that case?
That kind of pissed me off.
Yeah."
In 2053, Adam persuades Charlotte to carry out a task for him, and so she and Elizabeth say bye to Francesca, and they jump in the guard particle. We don't know where they went to.
Yep.
We still
don't know.
Even after episode 6. And also in episode 5, in 2020, Peter keeps looking for his Francesca and Charlotte. Elizabeth's basically like, they're fucking dead. Let it go, Dad. And he's like, no, I can't. So she goes back to the trailer, because she's like, fuck it.
This was brutal.
Oh, yeah. And she shows up, and there's some guy in there
ransacking it,
and he knocks her out. And then when she wakes up, he's eating. He's like, it's been so long since I've had cooked food. And then he decides, oh, now that I'm nice and hungry, I think I'll rape this child.
Yeah.
And her dad comes home while he's mounting her, and then they start to fight, and he...
It's a good back and forth fight between the two of them.
Kinda.
She tries to get in with a knife, and
then basically it ends with the intruder guy having the upper hand on Peter with a knife, and he just over muscles Peter and slowly stabs him in the throat.
It was very long, drawn out,
yeah.
And gruesome.
And gruesome to the fact that you get into the psychology of Peter, like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then he's going to rape and kill my daughter, or rape her repeatedly, or do something. And I can't stop him. And how weak and helpless he must have felt that he can't stop this guy mm-hmm. from slowly killing him.
Yeah.
So there's a big psychological in there.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth does get the upper hand and violently beats the man to death with a fire extinguisher to the face.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't stop, and I'm kind of glad.
Yeah. And then she heads to the cave where she's found by Noah.
Yep.
Which I kept waiting for Noah to show up after Peter got stabbed in the throat, incidentally.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't.
Nope.
So Elseworld, Eva World Claudia meets up with this world's Claudia and basically says Jonas is going to become Adam. He wants to destroy both worlds and untie the knot that binds them together. And
she goes into a lot of detail. She talks about how, like, Eve is light, Adam is dark.
Yeah.
Every time they open or close the passage, some cesium is left behind and it creates the passage. So it's another one of those, you know, chicken loop egg things, kind of things.
She gives Charlotte the book.
Mm.
This is where the books come from. Now, didn't we see the unknowns writing in the book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at in episode 5. We're rolls in episode 6. Anything else you want to throw out there?
A human lives 3 lives. The first is when they lose their naivete. The second is when they lose their innocence. And the third is when they lose their life.
Is when they lose their actual life.
Yeah, this is what Eve was telling.
Yeah. Eva. Jonas. It's Eva.
Sorry.
Well, it's not Adam and Eve. It's Adam and Eva.
She says, yours ends here now. You've accomplished what you were brought here for. Now is the time. And then middle-aged Martha is there. And yeah. They shoot him and that's it. He was to help create the knot that ties the two worlds together and gives life to all of them.
Yeah. So episode 5 ends with Jonas being killed.
Yep.
And then episode 6 opens with Claudia and the abandoned power plant, finding the guard particle in its little tiny, like...
No. Episode 6 starts with Jonas jumping out the window.
Yes, that's right.
And then middle-aged Jonas waking up, going,
oh my God! So we see Jonas is alive.
Yeah.
But then we see Jonas with the Jonas we knew that got killed, the one that now jumped out the window, shows up at the power plant with Claudia, and Claudia convinces Jonas to help her restore this guard particle.
Yeah. But notice that they're... When they were both at the power plant, it wasn't the big swirling thing, and it wasn't a giant black sphere. It was a little white sphere, like the size of a baseball.
In 2052, in Eva's world, because that's how we can describe it. So the other world, it's Eva's world and Adam's world. This is where she talks about the fucking two parallel realities overlapping in one scenario and the tracks and... Jonas was saved from the apocalypse by Martha when she brought her to Eva's world, where he was eventually killed. However, the second scenario exists where Jonas was not met by the alternate Martha and instead lives in his own world, becoming Adam. These divergent chains coexist in quantum entanglement.
Yes, which I did like. I do like that. However, the fact that they've only introduced quantum entanglement now.
With 2 episodes left?
Yeah. That bothered me more than anything. But I love that they brought it up like that because, they're always entangled with each other. You've got Martha's, what'd you call her, like September Martha?
Yeah.
Is locked up. Well, calling her 1888 Martha.
Sure.
Because she's the one that went back.
Now we're in 2053 in Adam's world where Adam has taken Martha prisoner.
Yep.
And he wants to destroy the origin by activating the guard particle at the time when the apocalypse in both worlds is happening, releasing the energy of both apocalypses onto Martha, killing her and the child forever.
Yes. Mostly the child.
Yeah.
He's less concerned about Martha, but he's the child.
He basically straps her to a chair and unleashes the guard particle over her, which doesn't this take way too long for it to involve? But basically, it goes from a ball wrapping around to like a tornado.
Yeah.
And just kind of sits down on her.
Did you kind of want to hear?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. So as far as, well, I'm sure we'll find out what happens. There's only 2 episodes left.
Right.
I'm excited to watch him back to back.
He did say, he was talking about how like old Tannhaus thought he was creating a third world that was going to be like a paradise.
Yeah.
But it's just infinite darkness. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy both worlds so that we can get out of this whole loop.
I still think the only way to solve this is to protect these worlds is to prevent the invention of time travel. Which, if they prevent the invention of time travel, many people will not be alive.
Right. Yep.
Which maybe is too many people to have a story. But I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, so Martha travels to one of the Marthas. I don't know if it's Scarface Martha or Yellow Raincoat Martha, but one of them, I can't remember now, goes to Eva's world.
Friggin' Pokemon.
Yeah. Goes to the day of the apocalypse, Eva's world, to try to get help from Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no. you made mom cry last night. What's wrong with you? You're crazy.
Yeah.
And then
She tells him that, you know, the world's going to end. So he goes and tells Francesca. He's like, hey, the world's going to end.
And she's like, as long as it ends with us together in sign language.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's kind of what happens to them.
Yeah.
They get disintegrated. Yeah. So she goes to talk to Bartow to tell him about the apocalypse, which would be, you know, and she says, hey, they're going to open the barrels of the power plant. This is what's going to happen. So he's like, well, let's go stop them on my pedal bike while you ride the back of it.
Yeah.
That was awkward looking.
That was very awkward.
Alexander is like, fuck you, Hannah, for blackmailing me. So he calls Charlotte to the power plant to try to, like, hey, honey, this is what happened. This is what I did, because he's married to Charlotte in this world. Right?
No, he's not.
No, he's not. Sorry. But, no, he's sorry. Charlotte's like the head police officer in this world.
Right.
So he calls her. He's like, hey, this is what happened. I'm being blackmailed. And then he takes her down.
And he also tells Bartow. Like, he tells him the whole thing, and he tells him specifically that he, 33 years ago, he murdered somebody accidentally, and, you know, I didn't mean to, and I've been trying to outrun it, and now somebody's trying to blackmail me for it.
So Bartow or whatever tries to tell his dad, hey, Alexander, you can't do this.
Right.
But they can't get a hold of him, so that's when him and Martha head to the power plant. And along the way, they're intercepted by Adam's world, Magnus and Francesca. Mm-hmm. Who's like, hey.
Which are the old ones.
Yeah. Hey, so Eva lied to you, by the way. Like, you lied to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to pick one world for this to actually work. It's got to be our world. Your world needs to go and ours will survive. You can hang out here with us. So they have, and they now have the device.
Yeah, the sphere.
The sphere device.
Not the big box, but the little sphere.
Yeah. And they're the ones that send her to rescue Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
From the apocalypse.
The other Jonas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on the different track.
Right. And then Bartow runs into his adult self, who Eva had sent back.
Eva does this thing, and it's towards the end, but it was really interesting. Yeah. She tells the Council of Marthas that Adam has moved all of his pawns into place.
So now she's going to move all her pawns into place.
So I actually wrote this down. She says, Bartow, you must save yourself to save our lives. Claudia, you must guide yourself to be our eyes in the other world. Egon, this was surprising. Fucking Egon.
Yeah.
She's like, Egon, you must create your past to preserve the family tree.
Yeah.
Noah, you bring love to make everything new. Every darkness is followed by light. Every death brings life.
And hers is called Erit Lux, which is the counterpart of the Sicmundus.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their own little cult thing going.
Yeah. Egon, though, that surprised me.
Yeah, that did surprise me.
I thought he was done.
Yeah. So in 1986, the unknowns travel to both worlds. Mm-hmm. And one world, it's the old man and the young kid. And the other world, it's the middle-aged one. And they both release radioactive cesium waste at the power plants. So at the
same time,
this will eventually result in both the creation of the wormhole and the cave, as well as the apocalypse. In 2019, Alexander and Charlotte opened the barrel of reactive waste at the power plant, and they released the dark matter causing the eruption of the apocalypse in Eva's world, which we see happening. And then Bartow and Francesca in Eva's world get wiped out from the sonic boom of it all. Whatever. And so there's two episodes left.
We get to see, now there was something else here too, which was Charlotte investigating, discovered that the two pennies were the exact same.
Oh yes, that's right.
And so Ulrich goes and asks Helgi about it, and then lets him go so that he can then follow him into the cave, and he ends up going through one of the tunnels, and we don't see where he pops out.
Yeah. But he leaves a very familiar voicemail message for Charlotte of, the boy we found is my brother Mads, and I can't explain, but it is, and I'm following Helgi into the caves.
Yeah. So he, the thing at the end, like the montage, there was a lot of stuff happening. Ulrich goes through the opening in the cave. Hold on. Can't be killed. Yeah. It said the baby can't be killed by normal means. It's of both worlds. It requires the energy of both to be destroyed. So Dark Ulrich's in the caves. Middle-aged Martha leaves the letter in the stopwatch for Jonas because I thought she was supposed to be rescuing him, but they're actually Eva had said that all of her people were out there right now making sure that everybody was in the right place for all of this to happen.
Right.
Charlotte sees the barrels of materials. Hannah is miscarrying because she's very pregnant, and she's looking at the gun that she has of Alexander's, and then she stands up, and there's, like, blood coming from down there.
Maybe her water broke.
That's some bloody water. This was interesting, too. Old Noah brought Elizabeth to the bunker where young Noah met him there. Well, meets her, and then old Noah just kind of walks off. Egon shows up to Hannah, which was interesting because they had that whole thing in 1953 in our world. Egon and Hannah?
Yep.
But now old Egon is showing up to Hannah who's miscarrying or something?
Yeah. But is that, which world? Is that Eva's world?
I think it is Eva's world.
Yeah, so that doesn't make any sense because Hannah and Egon were fucking in
Adam's world. That's what she said to Egon. Yeah. Egon, you must create your past to preserve the family tree.
Okay.
So we have two episodes left. Fucking nuts. You're looking puzzled.
I think I forgot to watch an episode of Hannibal.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I think I watched episode 5, but I didn't watch episode 6.
Oh, then you actually, okay, so this is the problem. Was it 5 and 6? I thought it was 3 and 4. Because we complained last week that the first two episodes.
Okay, sorry. So I did watch 3 and 4.
Okay.
Good. All right, because I'm reading 5 things here, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was 3 and 4.
Okay.
And here's my biggest problem with this, right?
Okay, I did watch 3 and 4.
And I think you're going to agree with me. I'm going to mash these together, and I'm going to say this is my biggest problem.
Sure.
Episode 4
yeah.
should have been episode 1.
Yeah.
Episode 4 showed us the fallout of every other character.
Yes.
We get to see that Jack's alive.
Yes.
Holy shit. We get to see that Alana Bloom is alive.
Yeah, Bloom is alive.
We get to see Chilton's alive.
Yeah.
You know, all these people, this should have been episode 1 of this season.
Oh, Mason Verger's alive. His sister's alive. We see that, Chilton's alive.
And all of them are plotting on what they're going to do next.
Yeah.
Like, by the time I got to this episode, I was, like, ready to be done. After episode 3, I was like, I don't know if I can keep going.
Oh, you mean when episode 3 ends with Lecter coming to the conclusion that the only way he can, that Lecter can forgive Will for his transgressions is to eat him?
He didn't just come to that conclusion. Gillian Anderson said that to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's becoming more and more fucked up. Like, she's gone from becoming unwilling accomplice to willing accomplice in his murders. Because he just murders someone by stabbing him in the head with an ice pick at the beginning of episode 3.
Yeah. And this whole episode 3, we have this, like, Will goes back to his Hannibal's childhood home. They say ancestral home, but fuck you.
Lithuania.
Yeah. And there's a woman out there hunting on the property, and there's a guy chained up in the dungeon.
Yeah.
They have a dungeon down there.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
And what was his crime? He did something.
He murdered, like, her sister or some shit.
Oh, no. Hannibal murdered her sister, but then said that this is the guy that did it. So she's been keeping him alive down here all these years to punish him.
Yeah.
And then Will's like, no, it wasn't him. It was Hannibal.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they pull him up, and he's, like, half-eaten. Yeah, I was ready to be done, honestly. I was like, I don't know if I could keep going with this. We saw that Jack was alive in Florence, and we're like, oh, wait a minute, how did that happen? And then suddenly we get episode 4 where literally everything is laid out and we're like, oh, now I care again.
Yeah, basically. I don't understand what happened in episodes 1, 2, and 3. I thought they were, I feel like they're like, how artsy can we get with this?
Yeah. I'm wondering if it was like happy endings. Do you think it's one of those?
Do you think they aired them out of order? I don't know.
I'm going to ask my sister about that because she watched this when it was on TV.
Because when I'm looking at this, it shows that episode 1, season 1, episode 1, production code is 301, aired June 4th.
Okay.
Season 3, episode 2, production code 302, aired June 11th. So they appear to be in the correct order, whereas if you go look at happy endings,
right,
it shows the production code number and the air date. It's all out of order type of thing. So it appears like it aired the way it was meant to air.
I loved episode 4.
I thought episode 4 was really good.
You know, we got to find out through different flashbacks and stuff. We got to see Bella, but then we know that she's dead.
Yes.
You know, she finally passed on. And we get to see Chilton's basically trying to find people to work with him.
Yes.
So isn't Alana. And Alana finds Mason. And
well, no, Verger is trying to find, Mason Verger is trying to find someone, a profiler. And Chilton's like, no, I don't want to do this.
Right, because Chilton has his own.
He has his own agenda, yeah. But he gets, but Alana Bloom works with Mason now.
Yep.
The scene where Mason Verger says to Chilton, like, I'll show you my scars if you show me yours.
And then they start peeling off.
And, like, Chilton takes a contact out, and he takes out this thing inside his mouth.
The plate with all the teeth on it.
Yeah, and it's like it's also, but it goes up to support his face. Yeah, so like his face all droops, and he takes some makeup off to show like a big.
Yeah. And almost, Mason, meanwhile, is like pulling off like flesh.
He pulls his face covering off. You can see, you know, his missing teeth, and his jaw crackers, his lips are falling inside his mouth, and you know his face is all skin grafted up and everything. Yeah.
It was very disturbing.
It was.
There was something really wrong, though. Margot, his sister, when she went out riding, and then she came back, and she was introducing Alana, and she had ponytails.
Yes.
And I'm just looking at her, or pigtails, or whatever, and I'm like, she's a grown woman. Knock it off.
And she also made the comment of, like, if he offers you chocolate, don't take it.
Yeah. Which we never came back to.
Which, but it seems like the relationship between brother and sister has improved since Hannibal's.
A little bit.
Yeah. They're more equals now.
Yep.
And also, but now Mason wants to fucking eat Lecter. So he's hiring like a fancy chef so he can cut up and kill Lecter and cook him so he can eat him.
For that aspect of it, but also the nursemaid guy who's been working with him, he's like, you'd do anything for me, right? And the guy's like, of course. And he's like, I want you to make arrangements to have Hannibal Lecter eaten. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, to be eaten alive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, again, this is part of the problem. We've all seen the movies. We know it's not going to happen.
Right.
And I know this is – my sister always says, you know, it's an alternate reality version.
See, I don't think it is because – all right. So the first Hannibal Lecter book was Red Dragon, then Silence of the Lambs, and then Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
And then long time after that, the prequel Hannibal Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we've seen so far in these movies, in these episodes, are – from Hannibal Rising, for the most part. Then
Will Graham was in Red Dragon.
He is, but he's also, I believe he's in Hannibal Rising.
Okay.
Or we're getting parts of Hannibal Rising as well. Then in Red Dragon, because I just watched the movie Red Dragon, actually, as well.
Nice.
And Red Dragon, so I'm going to talk about that later. But in Red Dragon, we have the killer named the Tooth Fairy, who is in this season.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
And then... yeah, so I think they are following the books.
Okay.
And
which, yeah, because later seasons they wanted to bring in Clarice and they wanted to...
Right. So, because after this end of the season, it kind of leads into what would be the Silence of the Lambs. And then Hannibal. And then the last season was supposed to be an original works that finished up the Hannibal Lecter story.
Right.
So I think these seasons have been based on the writings, just not...
Okay.
I mean, like, I'm reading the original Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
There was a novelization by Richard Curtis based on the original John Carpenter script. And I'm currently reading that. And there's stuff that's in that in the book that was definitely not in the movie. In fact, some of the kills that are in the book are not in the movie.
Mm.
So that's kind of interesting as well, because some of these aspects that are in this book
you see played out, or concepts from the story being played out in like parts 4 and 5, which is like with his fucking monks involved for some reason. But apparently that was in like Carpenter's original script, according to this book. So it's kind of weird how things deviate. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. So we're up to episodes 5, 6.
Which we'll watch this week.
Yeah. Oh, let's go bright side.
Okay.
What did you think of Dead Pixels?
Loved it. This was the death of a streamer. A very famous game streamer died, and it hits them differently. It hits both of them differently. You know, Meg's more like, now I want to be a streamer. Because he was making money
too, yeah.
And I love the turn that it takes, where basically they find out that the American dude who is their partner, you know, the one who always neglects his wife and kids, he's a pilot.
He's a pilot.
They're like, what do you mean? I love how she's having the conversation.
You
like
fly actual planes.
He flies actual planes. And he's a commercial jet pilot. And,
but not overseas stuff, just, you know, puddle jumpers.
Yeah. And, he actually plays the game at one point because he wants to watch her stream because it's so compelling.
Absolutely nothing happens, but I can't miss it. Yeah.
It's so boring, but I can't stop watching.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much most streamers these days.
Well, and then you look at, like, the guy that died, they found him, and they call him nappies, but he was wearing diapers and eating, he was surviving on just beans.
Yeah.
And actually shitting and pissing himself so he didn't have to leave the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's dedication. No, that's not. That's fucked up. And he was only 27, but he died from horrific medical issues from the chosen lifestyle.
Yep. Meanwhile, her roommate there, like, blanking on his name right now, but...
Nikki?
Yeah. He kind of, like, he does the dude thing where he doesn't admit to it, but he gets hit hard by this.
Yep.
Like, he's really struggling with life and death right now, and what does it all mean? So he decides to dive into the game even more and pick up leaves. He's going to pick up all the leaves, and he's trying to make a pile of leaves. And then eventually, when they get blown away, after he gets stuck, he realizes, you know, I just spent all this time doing this. I'm going to spend all this other time. What the hell am I doing with my life? I don't want to end up like this guy. So he goes out to the party.
Their roommate, flatmate, Allison, is having a party. And she's invited both of them, and they both declined. But now Nikki's going to go check out the party.
Because there's a girl there that he likes. And
from
she's
his
like,
work, yeah.
She's like, she'll be here. And the girl does. She, like, hits on him, and he just, ah! And he runs into the bathroom. Well, turns out there's a giant turd in the toilet.
Yeah, the person that was in the bathroom before him, the woman that came out, dumped a giant turd that won't flush.
Yeah.
And he can't get it to go down as much as he tries.
And at one point, he's got, like, a key or something, and he's, like, reaching into the toilet to, like, break it up. Oh.
Yeah, and he can't do it, so he finally just gives up and comes out of the bathroom, and he's like, I'm sorry, I tried my best, I really did, but I can't do more than that. And, of course, everyone's disgusted, including the girl that likes it.
Yeah, it kind of kills the mood of the party.
Yeah.
But
Meg stands up and says, I'm the one that made the big shit.
Yeah.
Because I don't care what you people think about me, storms off in her room.
Because it turns out that the guy who pledged all that money to her on her stream was the dork from work.
Russell.
Yeah.
Or Usman. Sorry, Usman.
And his mom takes it back. She's like, yeah, he does this. You know, he falls in love easily and blah, blah, blah. And so she takes the money back. And then everybody drops off the stream. They don't want to watch anymore. So now Meg's like, I'll go live stream from the party. And that was just awkward.
She brings her phone. I was like, hey, guys, I'm at this great party. Look, this cute guy doesn't want anything to do with me. Hey, let's see what else he says. Are you going to talk back? Oh, he wants to know if I'm going to talk back now. You do realize, like, that's streaming to no one. Nobody is watching. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she kind of has a freak out because she clearly likes Nikki and won't admit it. And when Nikki expresses interest in this other girl, then decides he's actually going to go to this party to talk to her, she, like, kind of has a little breakdown herself.
Yeah.
We only got a couple episodes left, I believe.
Correct.
Bit Players?
Bit Players.
Dungeons and Dragons. I'm going to let you take this one because you are the D&D master, and I got to know, did Ahmed piss you off?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Ahmed pissed me off because there are people like that in the games. An equivalent that you may know is in arcades, you call them the button mashers.
Oh, those fucking people.
You know, the one where you're playing Street Fighter and or Mortal Kombat, and you have all the moves memorized, and all they do is just, like, slam.
Yeah.
And they're just slamming stuff, and somehow they beat you because they're just, their character's flailing everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this was. You know, he really had no business rallying the group like that and succeeding at these things. Like, some of the stuff that they did in there was very wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I want to observe my surroundings. Oh, you could see that the miasma affects it. No, that wouldn't really work. It was a lame thing that basically allowed him to get an advantage in there. But I kind of get it where he was bringing fun back to the game, whereas, you know, it was kind of strict before. So
Leon takes the game seriously, and he does these campaigns, and he had a method of attack he wanted to use.
He has plans. He has strategies.
And Ahmed, once again, comes in, shits on his parade, and takes over.
Yep.
And everyone...
Because he's just being Ahmed, man. Yeah. He's just having fun.
And everyone loves him, and da-da-da-da. And at the same... And Leon's character ends up getting killed.
Yeah. Like, dead. Like, he got a one. Yeah. No death saves. He is done.
And so... That pisses him off because, you know, usually he goes and plays D&D and they don't have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now his buddy's there and they're having all kinds of fun. His character gets killed. His buddy's taken over. He's feeling like an ass. And then he gets a call from his agent saying, basically, Ahmed got the role in the McG movie. He's got a call back. You didn't. You should have Ahmed call me because...
He should get a phone because I should not be telling you this. This is terrible. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. And Leon, before that phone call, Leon gets pissed at Ahmed and just, why don't you just fuck off?
Yeah.
And it gets pissed at him. And Ahmed's like, oh, come on, man, it's all right. And even when they decide to leave, because apparently the game is over.
Yeah. He's like, oh, we're all going to go over to the new club and have some stuff. We're going to be there a while.
And he's like, you want to come with us? No. Oh, we're going to be there. Well, if you change your mind. And he goes to leave. And, hey, Ahmed, yes, my love? Get a phone. And so it's coming to a head.
Yep.
It's coming to a head.
Yep.
All in all, I did enjoy the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I do know, like you said, the button mashers, like the people that play pinball and just slam the sides of the machine. I'm like, there's no strategy to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's you don't want to see stupid people succeed. Yes. Is what it boils down to.
And that's what's happening with Ahmed.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Exponentially.
So they're doing a great job entertaining us.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, but also showing us the things in life that we get frustrated with as well. We're kind of the Leons in this.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the last episode and where it goes.
Yeah. Do we know if this one has a second season yet?
I haven't heard.
Okay.
I would like to know if there's a second season.
I did watch the first episode of The Duchess.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I sent you the trailer for it. It's that female comedian who's, like, British, and she has a daughter.
Oh, yes, I remember the trailer now. Yes. Yep. What's that on?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's a half-an-hour show. Basically, the premise is this. She has a 10-year-old daughter. The kid's awesome. And she decides she doesn't want her to be an only child, so she's going to go to a sperm donor. You know, go to a sperm.
Yes, yes.
And all the donor applicants are, like, 18 or 19 years old, and she's like, fuck that. I don't want to have some kid sperm knocking around inside me. So one of her friends is kind of like, well, too bad you couldn't get, you know, your ex because, you know, the two of you together made this. Meanwhile, she has this boyfriend who is really nice and really loves her and really loves her daughter and really wants it to be more. But she's like, no, I just want to keep this casual sex. I don't want a real relationship with you. So she's fucking that up. It's actually really funny. I really enjoyed it. A lot of the jokes were solid.
Jeez, that's funny. It didn't pop up on my thing. That's weird.
It is, yeah. basically, like, in the beginning, she goes to the group of moms that's outside the school. She sees her kid off school, and she goes over. She goes, hey, just want to let you know your daughter was picking on my daughter about her jacket the other day. And the other mom's like, oh, well, you know, girls will be girls. I'm not going to do anything about it. She, like, takes right over. She's like, if you don't fucking do something about this, I will fuck your husband. I will fuck him, and I will make him want me so bad that he'll never want you again. So do something about this. It was great.
That is funny.
Yep.
And believable, actually.
Yep.
At least you'd like to think it is.
Yeah. So it's about a half an hour, and it was solid. I actually enjoyed quite a bit of it.
Nice.
Yep. Teenage Bounty Hunters?
Yes.
Why did that? Oh, I'm like, Death of a Sub puts things in perspective. I'm like, didn't we just talk about dead pixels? No, this was a different thing. This was the death of a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And this kind of put things in perspective for both the girls. Blair kind of wants to go out and make more of her life. She wants to make an impression so that, you know, when she leaves this world, she'll be remembered. Because this guy was quiet and nobody really noticed that he was gone. He just died by himself on a bench eating a sandwich. He choked to death and was like trying to get the attention of the groundskeeper who was mowing the lawn, and the guy's just waving back at him, and it wasn't till later that the guy found him and realized he was dead. And but as she does a dig through like his Instagram and stuff, she realizes that he did all these things in life that he wanted to do, like skydiving and going to a convention. And
He summited a mountain. We don't know which one. We can assume it's Mount Everest. Maybe it's not, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
And he was just like blown away and so emotionally overcome with, this is so amazing. I love it.
There's not a soul around. His thing was, much like myself, he prefers being alone most times. You know, he just didn't like being around a lot of people. So when he did his stuff, it was very private and just for him.
Yep.
And so I could appreciate that.
Sure.
But Blair kind of gets to that point after a while, you know, because at first she's like, oh my God, nobody will ever remember him. And we need to have a memorial for him. And then the bitch girl there kind of takes over and becomes a drama queen about it.
It's basically, I'm more distraught and broken up over this death of our substitute teacher, Richard. His name was Robert. His name was Richard.
Yeah.
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 But it's weird because initially when Blair sets this up, it's because she wants to, it's an excuse to spend time with Luke so they can spend time together on school grounds for a school function thing. Mm-hmm. So she's basically using his death as a way to be with her boyfriend. But then by the end of it, because they've been forbidden to see each other, by the end of it, she breaks up with him.
Yeah, because she realizes that, you know, there's so much more to do in life. And
I've been tethered to you since fifth grade.
Yeah. And it wasn't mean. She wasn't like, you know, you're holding me back. She's just like, I have seen zero of this world, and I want to do more, and you should want to do more.
Yeah.
So it was a really growing thing for her. Sterling, on the other hand, has decided, you know what? I've been talking about sex all this time.
I want to do it.
I think it's about time to do it. And so she's like, yeah, we're going to do it. And her boyfriend's like, are you sure you want to? And she's like, yes. And then she kind of gets cold feet about it. She's like, I don't know. And he's like, look, we're going to work at your pace. And they have a really cool montage date night thing where, you know, watching movies and sliding down the stairs and it kind of happens naturally.
Yes. Natural progression to them having sex. And it's not like, oh my God, amazing, blown away, over the top. It's more like honest and reality of like, I think I should, I got to figure out how to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like little things like that. The bounty that the skip they're trying to find is this girl that has jumped on, what's his name?
Bowser
multiple times where, well, let me just get my stuff. And then she runs away or stomps on his foot or kicks him in the nuts or does something to get away.
Yep.
Well, this time they catch her at a strip club. I think it's hilarious.
Because she's a stripper.
When he brings the twins there to the gentleman's club. And they're just like, to them, they're not. It's so weird because
Well, first off, they walk in and they're like, we passed for 21. Yeah. This is great.
And the other one, let's just slow down. We have a lot of life left to live. But what's hilarious is like their body positivity, women empowerment, you know, like.
You would think with all the stuff they've been doing with like cigarettes and everything, and like, we should tell them this is wrong. They're sitting there and they're like, this is beautiful. These people are all amazing.
Look how comfortable they are with their bodies. You do great. Look at her butt crack. It goes, look how high up it goes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it is hilarious.
Yeah.
I did not think I was going to like these characters as much as I like them.
They're awesome.
Even with the religious aspect of it, it's not even a turnoff.
Nope. I don't like it.
You know, it's like, especially like when Sterling is just like, oh, you know what I can do really good? Pray. And then she prays for the substitute teacher, and then she accidentally sets the Bible on fire. But I mean, like, it's... This show has tons of religion in it, and it's somehow not thrown in your face the whole time, even though sometimes the whole episode is religious orientated.
Yeah.
It's religion in a non-forced-upon-you-in-your-face, over-the-top
constantly kind of way. It's hard to describe.
It's not preachy. How about that?
It's not. It's religious, but it's not preachy.
I think that's the best way to say
it. Yeah. It's respectable.
Yes.
It makes you go like, okay, I respect their belief.
They're more beliefs than, than a lifestyle, I guess.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the hell.
The YouTube guy was around.
Yes, the YouTube.
Dude, he was so much fun.
Yes.
Like how he'd just walk up and he'd be, after she ate the edible, and he's like, oh, now you got a problem. You can't take her in if she's got stuff in her system. Bowser's like, I know that. You know, he's always like eating a wing. He's like, oh, no, this is my day off.
She's like, oh, I want that guy to roast me. Ha, this is my me day. Everyone needs one. Sorry. But you're in good hands with Bowser right there. Like, it's like.
And then every time he would just like walk up on him, ooh, you got a problem now, mister.
But he does eventually bring her in. I like the thing at the end where she's like, I always had a crush on you and da 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 da. And then he like, she leans in like she's going to kiss him and he pulls his gun. She's like,
she pulls the gun.
That's what I mean. She pulls his gun and she's like, now you're going to uncuff me and da 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 da. And he's like, oh, I took out the bullets. And realistically, she's not going to shoot him in the face.
No, of course she's not.
But I just, I don't know.
Not over a bail jump.
Yeah. It was a good episode.
It was a very good episode.
It was a good episode. I don't know. We have a few left.
Yep.
Once again, mom and dad were talked about but not seen in this episode. Right. I don't know if that's a budgetary thing or what it is, but.
Now.
Let's talk about Warrior Nun.
Okay. I was going to ask because you hadn't watched the week before.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I hadn't.
Oh, okay.
Or I watched it. I caught up. It doesn't matter. I watched the last episode.
Okay.
So yeah, I have seen them all.
You had said you forgot it, and then I was like, oh, well, this. And so now we've got it. So
might have been the week before I forgot it. Okay. But regardless, I've seen them all. Because, yes, I did see the episode where she went into the tomb and Adriel was not a sack of bones, but a person. Yeah. So basically, Adriel's the devil.
Yep.
And Father Vincent, who's been helping the girls, is actually working for Adriel.
Because we all expected the cardinal who just became pope to be the bad guy.
Because the cardinal that everyone hated and who got voted in the pope was the red herring.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But essentially, Adriel's out. Because most of the episode is him in the tomb with her.
Yep.
And we get his backstory and how the warrior nun started and how he did give the halo to the first one who became the warrior nun and how it's been passed down over the years.
Now he wants it back.
And now he wants it back. So there's a pretty kick-ass fucking scene where the warrior nuns, all of them, get together and kick the shit out of this guy.
Yep.
It is beautifully done.
Oh, it sure was.
And they walk away. And he gets up and pulls the arrow out of the back of his head and is like, did you really think you could stop me? And they're like, oh, no, we knew we couldn't. We just had to wait 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she steps forward and it's just like, nice.
Yep. And then he pulls down the red mist and turns everybody in the Vatican into a demon.
A demon, basically, yeah. Or possessed. And that's kind of how the episode ends.
I mean, you talk about ending something on a cliffhanger. Yeah. This was literally like Mary jumped in to the fray and started attacking. They all swarmed over her, and that was it. The episode ended. We don't know what happened to anybody.
It has been renewed for season two.
Yes, it has.
I will at least watch the first episode of season two.
Yep.
Because I'm not done with it.
I still don't know what's going on with her son. You know, the science lady's son, because
he ran through the portal.
Yep.
And is gone somewhere. Because he was
like, oh, it's time. It's time for me to go through the portal.
Yeah, he seems somehow to be connected with Adriel, of all people.
Yeah.
And here's another, Lilith. Was it Lilith who got pulled to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
recognizes her.
Huh?
Adriel kind of recognizes
her. Well, we all seem to think that she's evil, but I don't think she is.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Adriel's like, you've been to the other side. And then she goes to attack him, and he just kind of like, pfft.
Yeah. So we talked about that. We got to talk about Umbrella Academy.
Oh, three left, yeah.
And Cobra Kai. And what's the other one?
High Score.
Okay, so High Score was not just about Sega coming to the marketplace.
Pretty much, though.
Okay, yes. Pretty much was all about Sega coming to the marketplace and this guy's brilliant plan of how we need to do it. First thing, lower the price. Secondly, find our own Mario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more sports games, more this, more that. And I like how he
make fun of Nintendo.
And he spreads, he goes to Japan, says, this is what I want to do. Everyone's pissed at him.
Oh, yeah.
But the head of Sega's like, well, you know what? I told you to do what you need to do over in America. So
walked out of the room.
Yeah.
And then walked back in and went, you know what?
You know what? I hired you to do what you need to do, so go ahead and do it. And obviously, Sega became a huge hit. Now, I was never a Sega kid when I was a kid. I played the Sega Genesis a few times, but I never owned one. I was very brand loyal to Nintendo until I got my PlayStation. But I really never played too much video game at home past Super Nintendo. Like, my mom got an N64, and when the controllers started looking like absurdness, I was like, yeah, I'm done.
See, it was always a point of contention growing up because there were always games that came out on both platforms.
Yes.
You know, SNES and Genesis.
Sure.
And there was always a clear winner.
Yes.
But it was never consistent. It was never like SNES is always the winner. You know, sometimes it would be Genesis. Sometimes it would be SNES.
It was weird how it depended how one game was better on one system than the other.
Yep.
But you're right. There's no consistency to it.
Nope. Because like Lion King on Genesis is quite often seen as one of the hardest, worst movie adaptations. Next to E.T., of course. But on the SNES, it was actually a great game.
Yeah.
You know, and you could swap those back and forth with different ones. Aladdin was terrible.
Yep.
But then it was great. So, and then you had the whole controversy with Mortal Kombat, and how on Genesis you could have blood, but on SNES you had green fluid.
Yeah. Yes. My big takeaway from the episode.
ABACABB. That was the blood code.
My big takeaway from this was Madden football.
Yeah.
So I knew, from my knowledge base, the first Madden game was on Sega. Because I remember that because we couldn't get it for Super Nintendo. And I was like, fuck this shit.
Yep.
I wanted to play Madden football because it was supposed to be the best. Because prior to that, you had football, but it wasn't real football. It wasn't 11 on 11. It wasn't what it was. And then when Madden came out, I was like, holy shit.
They didn't have real players. They were just like football guys.
Right. So I was shocked to learn that the very first John Madden football game came out on the Apple IIe in 88. I had no idea.
We never had an Apple IIe in my house. We had an Apple IIc, but I wasn't a sports guy anyway.
So. I never had an Apple. My first computer was a Macintosh Performa 550.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We didn't have one prior to that.
Fancy.
No. That's my first computer. 156 megabyte hard drive. And I had external 156 megabyte hard drive as well. Of course, you know, back then those had their own fucking fans because of
here I'm sitting with a brand new computer that I just built with a 1 terabyte internal liquid cooled 8 gig video card. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
156 megs.
So the pattern I've noticed with High Score is it really seems to stick with 80s, 90s. It's not really giving us today. And I don't know if that's going to be like season 2. They're going to expand on all these.
Right.
Or we're just getting like the slow history. But it was like, and I'm not disappointed with the show, but it was
a little.
The RPG episode really didn't go past the 80s.
Oh.
Barely touched the 90s. And I knew what you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
What's hilarious to me is the trailer I sent you for the console wars.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the trailer, and I'll talk about it now instead of talking about trailers. Sure. I saved the trailer for the new documentary, The Console Wars, which is basically about, like, I watched this episode of High Score, and 5 minutes later found this trailer.
And this looks way better.
And when you watch the trailer, it's about the console wars of Sega versus Nintendo, essentially. And it talks to a lot of the same people they talk to in this episode of High Score. And you give it a lot of this. It just was hilarious to me. It's almost like we got Plastic Universe about the Star Wars figures.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to
The Toys That Make Us.
The Toys That Made Us.
Yep.
So
it's
almost funny to me that it's like we got the TV show High Score.
Mm-mm.
And now we're getting this documentary, The Console Wars. It's like,
before even that, though, remember, God, maybe it was last year sometime.
On the History Channel?
Yes.
Yes.
Because that one had a lot of this info, and it was actually done way better than High Score.
Yeah, that was really good.
And
The guy from PlayStation came out, and he was just like,
$2.99.
People, yeah, that was his whole thing. Yeah.
That's happening right now, too.
Oh, really?
Xbox, their next-gen console, they just announced last week, November 10th, $500. The stripped-down digital version is $300. Sony hasn't announced yet, and everybody, all the insiders are saying that they're scrambling right now because their price point was like $600, but now they're scrambling to see if they can make it $500. So we're waiting. This Wednesday is going to be their announcement.
Holy. I just remember when I was a kid, my brother and I went and picked eggs on Spears Corner Road in West Gardner so we could save our money to buy a Nintendo, which was like $120. And now, like, a base system is $500.
Yeah.
I know it's been a lot of years, but it's just like, holy fuck.
Yeah. That's the nature of the beast right now, my friend. Oh. So, yeah, I was not overly impressed with this. They seem to have two focuses, Sega and...
Oh, sorry?
Football. Sega!
Thank you.
That was fun watching the commercials at the end. Yes. You know, Sega! I could have done without the guy who went to Alcatraz.
Sega Championship for Sonic. It's almost like they kind of, not bookending, but we saw the Nintendo World Championship. Right. We saw the Atari World Championship. So now we got to see the Sega World Championship. So I see the consistency. So I appreciate that.
Yep.
What do we got? How many more episodes we got? A couple more?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. So do you want to do Cobra Kai or Umbrella Academy?
Let's talk the Cobra Kai.
Okay. This took a turn I wasn't expecting. Remember how I had said that I thought basically Daniel's daughter was going to, you know, go back to karate school with dad and that she would be the new rival to go against Johnny's little buddy there, and it would be like a Romeo and Juliet thing? Nope. That's not what happened.
Yeah, no. Robbie is sees that his dad is treating Miguel like a son, you know, from his 5 seconds of watching them from afar, and is like, "Fuck you, Dad! I'm going to go find LaRusso." So basically, he
doesn't actually tell him that.
No,
just thinking this in his head.
But he kind of worms as he gets a job at LaRusso, and kind of worms his way into now he's going to train with him.
Yep.
Yeah,
he's going to learn karate from him. So yeah. That will be the conflict.
We're going to get Miguel against Robbie at the. Valley Championship or some shit.
Probably. By the way, there's 2 episodes of High Score left. The next one is called Fight! With an exclamation point.
Yeah.
So it'll be fighting game.
Sure.
And they'll probably just focus on Mortal Kombat.
Most likely. Maybe Street Fighter, yeah.
And then the 6th one is called Level Up. And Level Up is only 37 minutes long.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what we're talking about next season.
That's what I'm hoping.
So episode 5 of... Because we're on 5 and 6, are we not?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, wait, hold on.
What? I'm holding.
Are we on 5 and 6 or 6 and 7?
We're doing them in even numbers, so we'd be on...
Okay, 5 and 6. All right. So, essentially...
You look really problematic.
I'm just trying to think of how I want to word all this.
Okay. Johnny's a dick.
Oh, so, well, no. Miguel is doing better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back. Sam, basically, when she pushes off Kyler's advances, and then he tries to keep getting handsy with her, and she handles herself with some of the training she learned from her dad.
Right.
Walks away. He basically tells the whole school, "Hey, she blew me at the movie theater.
Suck my dick."
And then tells her new friends that she talks shit about them. So now they've cut her out of her life and told everyone in school that.
And they all believe him at his
face. Yes. They don't even bother to ask if that's what really happened or what the truth is. So, of course, now she's kind of a pariah at school.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel sticks up for her, though. When she tries to stand up to Kyler and then he tries to kind of bully her back, he stands up to her and we get a fight scene where he beats all of them up.
And it was a cool fight scene.
It was a cool fight scene. Yes.
It reminded me of like... a stripped-down version of the one in Kingsman in the church, you know?
So he gets... Oh, dude, no. I don't think you can compare the two, because
that's why I said stripped down.
Way stripped down, because that scene, A, with just the the guitar solo part from Freebird, and just the fighting and the non-stoppiness of it all, holy shit, that's amazing. Anyhow, he beats up 4 or 5 kids at the school. And gets hauled to the principal's office.
Has the nerdy girl joined by now?
No.
Okay.
Gets. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She.
Sam's friend, the big girl, Nerdy Girl, she does join.
She and, showed up, and Johnny was basically like, no, no,
get girls. The fuck out of here. We don't teach girls. Yeah. And then Miguel's like, no, we do.
You That's, want students.
Yeah, she's a student. Her dad was a football player. You want this. So Fine's like, fine, line up, fight. And she's like, I haven't had a lesson yet, so fight. So
Miguel's like, I don't want to hit a girl. And so like, he knocks her down.
He goes, what's wrong with you? I thought girls were equal.
Yeah.
So he kicks her in the gut, and then she gets up and beats the shit out of him.
Like, tackles him. Full-on yeah. tackles him and beats him.
Yeah. And then starts dropping knees on him. And so he's like, all right, you're in. So
she's there in the cafeteria yeah. when this happens.
So Miguel beats up all these people, and then his grandmother's just like, good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, my mom's never going to find out because Nana found out. And she was like, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, good for you. So, of course, people, because we live in the cell phone age, even in the show, everyone recorded it. Word got around. Johnny shows up for work at the dojo, and there's, like, tons of kids waiting to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny becomes Johnny, and he basically shits over everybody.
Oh, yeah. He calls them all losers.
He calls this one guy tits.
Yep.
And then he goes, hey, Lip. What? Yeah, you, Lip. Well, and I love the fact that he goes,
oh, my God, dude. He just kept doubling down.
Oh, it's, okay. It's a...
Kid with a hair lip.
Torn down version of the sergeant from Full Metal Jacket, where he makes fun of everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like, so yes, huh? Except in this one, he's just making fun of kids. But it's the sensey kids of today who's just like, you can't talk to kids that way. You can't be mean to us. And he's like, what do you mean? That's how you toughen people up.
And dude, he doubles down on this kid with a hair lip. Like, he's like, why don't you go and have surgery to get that fixed? And he goes, I did have surgery. He goes, and it looks like that now?
Yes.
What did it look like before?
Yeah.
Like, it was terrible when I was born. He goes, wow, you need to fire that guy. Like,
and he's like, terrible. He goes, you need to do something like flip the script on this. I'd say like gouge out your eye and get an eye patch, but it'd still be too much of a distraction. The lip would still be too much of a distraction. Yeah. And he just like, and people are quitting. Yeah. And he's like, good, they're pussies. We don't need them. And Miguel's like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You can't have a dojo without students. You need money. Because Daniel tries to make a power play with the guy that owns the strip mall and basically like, oh, I'm looking to buy up land for a new dealership. And he just basically makes it seem like he's interested. So the guy will raise all the prices on his tenants, including the Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And get them kicked out or they can't afford it. And he really has no intention of buying it.
I like when he tells his wife this whole plan.
Yeah.
And she's just like, whoa.
She's like, grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She seems like the voice of reason here. And she's like, you spent all that time. You had that lunch with yeah. this guy just to get revenge on him. And he's like, no, even better on Johnny. And she's like, grow up.
And when she tells him to grow up, he goes and visits Mr. Miyagi's grave and talks to him. And they decide, oh, fuck, that was too emotional for me.
That was
we get a clip from Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and reopens up his own private dojo, cleans all the stuff out. Because it became like a storage catch-all.
Yep.
Cleans everything out, resets up his dojo, has the picture of him and Mr. Miyagi up. I actually got emotional.
And I checked, the date on the gravestone does not match Pat Morita's
yeah.
actual date of death.
Oh, okay. I didn't think to look at that. The episode was dedicated to Pat Morita, who died in
2005 or something.
Yeah, so he died like quite a while before this came out.
Yeah.
But it was very touching.
It was.
And here's the weird thing. Like, Daniel, like the actor Ralph Macchio, he was like 56 when they did this. He looks great, actually.
He does.
And William Zabka was like 52 or 3 or 4 when they did this. And he looked like, I was surprised that, because I looked up to how they are now. Mm-hmm. And I was actually quite surprised how old they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, the movie did come out, you know, 30 years ago. And
yeah.
And they weren't teenagers then. They were in their 20s playing teenagers.
Which happens a lot.
Right. So it's like, it's not like they're in their, like, our age. They're in their 50s.
Right.
But they still look great, you know. And I don't know if Ralph Macchio actually knows karate or he, like, learned Tai Chi for this. And the same thing with Zabka. Mm-hmm. But they both look good. And they both seem, like...
believable.
Did you think the show was just going to be kind of like, because it was on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and because of the concept, did you think it was kind of be like a laughable joke or low yeah. budget or shit?
Oh, yeah. I was expecting something that was like some ham-fisted jokes,
yeah,
some over-the-top ridiculousness, and like maybe they try to flip the script and make it, you know, oh, so now you're rooting for Johnny. And,
yeah.
I mean, this is really
it's
awesome.
It's really good.
It's so good.
It's great storytelling. Mm-hmm. It's...
great character development.
I'm just blown away by how good this is.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm watching it now, but I'm almost annoyed that I slept on it for so long.
Me too. My buddy John from work, he had never seen the movies. Like, he's seen a lot of 80s stuff, but he'd never seen these. And so I told him he has to go and watch them. And I told him originally, just watch the first two.
Yeah.
I was like, skip the Hillary Swank. I said, you can probably skip number three. But then in this episode, we had Daniel doing his kata. And he actually said, you know, this is my kata. This is my karate. And that doesn't come into play until the third one. So I'm like, you better watch the third movie.
Yeah.
I was like, it really ties in. Plus, the third movie is all about the bonsais, and he's kind of about the bonsais.
So. Yeah. I want to go back and rewatch the movies. I haven't watched them in so long.
Mm. He said to me, he goes, so I watched the first movie. Yeah, he goes, it ended really abruptly, huh? He goes, like, we're at the tournament, and he hands him the trophy, and then, like, the movie's over. And I said, well, the good news is the second movie literally picks up exactly at that moment out in the parking lot.
It does seem rather abrupt. Did they film the first two at once type of thing,
they
I wonder?
Didn't. Not that I'm aware of. Maybe they did. But, yeah, it did seem that, like, I never noticed it as a kid. But now looking back on it, I'm like, yeah, that was kind of, like, there was no going off into the sunset or anything. It was just, like, done.
So... in episode six, because I kind of combined the two, episode six is where he really picked on the cleft lip kid, Eli.
Yep.
And one of Miguel's other friends who's like, we pay you. You work for us. And then Johnny basically like, oh, okay, punch me then. And he humbles the kid.
Oh, yeah.
And then the kid like, oh, so I went there. He made fun of me. I got my ass kicked. And then I gave him money? Why would I go back to that?
He equated it to like a prostitute.
Yeah. So they're in the class. A bunch of the other kids has quit as well. So he's like, all right, let's get it going.
Yeah, the ranks keep thinning.
Yeah. And then Eli shows back up and he walks in and he's got a mohawk and he shaved the side of his head short and he's got like a purple mohawk or blue or whatever it is. And and Miguel's like, Eli?
Johnny goes, lip?
Lip? He goes, are you the same kid? And he goes like, yeah, I decided to flip the script and blah, blah, blah. So now he calls him Hawk. And basically, he's like, yeah, see, you're a badass now. And it's almost just like, oh, Johnny's really fucked up mentoring, inspired this kid to better himself.
Yeah, don't know that it's a good lesson to put forth into the world, but it's still...
because he is still teaching. Because really, episode five is the first time we see Daniel bring back the lessons of Pat Morita's Mr. Miyagi of what karate is. And, you know, balancing karate is not just lessons in balancing karate, but also balancing in your life. And... mm-hmm. You know, with the kata and everything, and you know, we finally get to see, all right, this is Mr. Miyagi's side, and we're still seeing the Cobra Kai strike first side, and it's like Johnny hasn't let that go, even though he almost seemed like he did in the movies, but now back in life he hasn't. So I'm actually rooting for Johnny to kind of pull himself up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's weird because it's almost like they're making Daniel the bad guy in this story just because he became successful and did well for himself and he didn't grow up with money. And now he's, you know, it's kind of weird how we've seen Daniel as the bad guy up until now.
Right.
You know, the first four and a half episodes. And Johnny's been the underdog and he really hasn't. I mean, we see Johnny's life, you know, with his mom and his rich stepdad. So he kind of grew up with money, which we knew. And how we found karate. And so that's kind of cool in itself as well.
We also saw when Miguel kicked the ass of all those guys and he goes and he tells Johnny about it.
Yes.
He takes him out and gives him his gi.
Yes.
He says, you're going to wear this from now on. This is what I wore when I won the tournaments.
In 1981, I went, oh my God.
Yeah.
But also Sam comes to Robbie and says like, yeah, when you went for that sweep, you left yourself open. And she kind of like pointed out some holes in his offense, which I thought was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But they're becoming friends, which is no surprise.
Yeah. Cause he's actually a nice person.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Robbie's going to learn karate under Daniel by the end of episode six. So I'm looking forward, you know, we got a couple episodes. We got
I think it's 10 episodes total. 10 episodes
in season one. We got 10 more in season two. So I'm looking forward to continuing to watch the show. I think of every show we're watching right now, this and Teenage Bounty Hunters, the two I actually look forward to the most.
Yeah, I would say that that's a good... Umbrella Academy, I do look forward to, but these ones I look forward to more.
Is that the only other show we have to talk about is Umbrella?
I did watch the first episode of Criminal, that UK one where... Season one. Season two is coming soon. I never watched the first season.
Did I watch the first season?
David Tennant, Hayley Atwell.
Oh.
They're all, like, it all takes place in an interrogation room. Like, the first one is David Tennant's 14-year-old daughter was killed.
Okay, it was actually called, I thought it was called Interrogation. when it came out, did they change it to Criminal?
No, it was always called Criminal. Maybe the international version was called Interrogation.
Anyways, I remember watching that, yes. Yeah. I did watch it.
And I never got around to it, because you didn't give it a hard sell. You were like, nah, it's okay. And you're right, it's okay. I watched the first episode, I started to watch the second episode and said, yeah, I'm not going to push myself.
But it's, all okay. So they have Criminal France, Criminal Germany, Criminal Spain, Criminal UK, and they all take place inside of an interrogation room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think the only other thing that we have to talk about is Umbrella Academy.
One of what's funny is they're all shot in their own languages, but they're all shot in Spain on the same set.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so Umbrella Academy, what'd you think?
Really coming to a head. Basically, we got an awesome, awesome kick-ass murder sequence in the beginning with Five.
Okay, it did not take him long from the end of the episode, previous episode, to this episode to jump to 1982 and kill the board.
Which kind of bothered me, because Handler specifically said to him, nobody knows where or when they'll be. It'll be somewhere in the timeline. And then suddenly he just knew.
In between, he somehow found them.
Yep.
But he hasn't done any time jumping with anybody, because last couple of times he did it, he fucked it up so bad. But yet he...
And Dad gave him that little pep talk telling him to just do baby jumps, you know?
Yeah.
Just like a minute. And he's like, a minute? Oh, what can happen in a minute, you know?
So it's kind of...
Yeah, so... But basically, he shows up in 1982... And he goes into their secret meeting. He, like, asks about, oh, is this where these people are? Blah, blah, blah. And he goes in there, and he just brutally massacres all of the board. And it was great watching it, because they would always cut the scene away. Like, because he teleports around. So they would cut away, and he would teleport, and then they would come back. And you'd just see, like, a pile of bodies. Or you'd see several bodies and several heads. And he just – it was beautiful. I loved watching it. He, of course, left the AJ for last. AJ, the fish inside the hermetically sealed thing on a human body. And unfortunately, the dumpy secretary from outside that had given him directions to come in here, turns out she was very loyal to them and came in and jumped him. And
he wrecked the vending machine.
Right, right. Because he wanted the damn peanut bar. And so he wrecked the vending machine, and she was pissed about that. So she came in and wrestled him to the floor. AJ ran away. But of course, Five can teleport. So Five teleported and got in front of him and took out his human body. And I thought he was going to step on him. I thought he was going to step on the fish, you know, while it was flopping around there on the floor. But no, he put it in a bag full of water and, took it back to Handler, who now keeps him in a fishbowl so that she can watch him and torment him and, you know, be a dick about things, because she's the Handler and that's what it is. And he's like, look, I did what you asked. Send my family back. And she goes, oh, here you go, and gives him a briefcase and says, you got 90 minutes. In 90 minutes, this will take you back to your timeline, no apocalypse. And he's like, you didn't say there'd be a timeline. She's like, yeah, well, fine print. And walks away. So
now he has 90 minutes to find the family. Guess what doesn't work out?
Yeah. Anything.
Right.
So Klaus agrees to let Ben possess him, because Ben really wants to meet that one girl that's part of the commune, and he wants to be human for a little bit. And Klaus is like, okay, we get some ground rules down. And of course, they're Klaus-style ground rules. You know, he's like, okay, no touching below the belt. Although I might like it, so maybe you could touch below the belt. We'll figure that out, yeah. And Ben likes it a little too much. He starts charming the girl, and the girl, like, she gets a little too ambitious and then jumps right on him and is like, let's have sex. And he's like, whoa, I'm a virgin. And she's like, no, we had sex last week, remember, when we were doing this thing?
They had a threesome last week.
Yeah. So he's like, Klaus, you're so dirty. But basically, who was it? Diego showed up for him? I'm trying to remember who showed up for who. Yeah, Diego showed up for him.
Yeah.
And because Five found Luther and Diego, I love that they called the little old German woman or the little old Dutch woman, because they saw the eye for an eye that was written out
in Swedish. Olga for Olga.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
And so they found an Olga.
For Olga.
For Olga. And they called her up and she's like, hello. They're like, we're going to find you and we're going to kill you. And then Five's just like, yeah, it means eye for an eye.
It's Swedish guy. It means eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, sorry, wrong number.
But he basically tells Luther and Diego, he's like, we need to split up. We need to get everybody back here. We got 90 minutes. Go. And so Diego goes to find Klaus, and it was so great watching the whole struggle between Ben and Klaus as they're walking along, and you'd see, like, Ben start to come out and then, like, slam himself back in. And
yeah. Klaus is trying to push Ben out, and with his own, and Ben's forcing himself back in, and eventually Ben ends up with the muscle guy, Luther, mm-hmm. and Five. And then finally he throws Ben out, like throws up, and Ben comes out of him. And he's like, guys, what's going on? That
Ben was in him.
Diego's not there because Diego went to go bury Elliot. And that's when Lila shows up and drugs him. And then Diego wakes up in front of the handler and he's like, Mom, this is my boyfriend.
Yeah, because handler basically told her, you know, her daughter was like, she's laying down the law at the whole place.
Well, yeah, the handler's basically announced that she's in charge because the whole board is tragically dead.
Yeah.
Who made you the boss? Ta-da-da! And she walks off and puts her daughter as head of security.
After she also said that the briefcase room was shut down for now.
Yes. Yep.
And yeah, so she makes her daughter head of security and she goes, you can pick your own team. Do whatever you want. And she's like, well, I want to do things my way. And she's like, okay, so Diego's going to be the first person on her team, of course.
Right. Vanya goes to get Allison, say goodbye. And
no.
Not Allison, sorry. Vanya goes to say goodbye to...
Five goes to get Alice, or to get Vanya.
Yeah, Vanya goes to say goodbye to Sissy.
Yes.
And oh no, Vanya is with Sissy, and they're going to leave. But then her husband, Harlan's like, or take Sissy and Harlan to the new timeline. But her husband's like, oh, I need Vanya to drive me to whatever.
So-and-so's.
So you need to take Harlan to his appointment by yourself. And so Vanya's like, okay, that's fine. So he drives him. And basically he's like, I know what you're doing, my wife. You need to fucking go. Because if you don't leave... then I'm going to put Harlan in a home,
yep,
in a special school. And we won't see him anymore and da-da-da-da. So she says she's going to leave so that doesn't happen. But, of course, she goes back and gets Sissy and Harlan. And Sissy leaves a note even after Vanya tells her not to. So then we find out that Sissy's husband's brother, or Sissy's brother-in-law, is a cop.
So found that out last episode. He's a state trooper.
Vanya has kind of a square up for the cops where she uses her powers to kind of knock them all down. But then gets knocked out herself, and that's we see her. We end with her knocked out in the dirt.
Yeah, because Five came to get her, and she was basically like, "We're taking these back with us." And he's like, "No, you're not." And she's like, "They're just two insignificant people." And he's like, "Nobody is insignificant. We cannot mess with the timeline."
But she's going to do it anyways. At the same time, Allison wants to take Ray with them together to the future because. Their fight's not over, and we're not going to win the battle here, so you need to come with us so we can win the battle in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert F. Kennedy wants to meet with Ray. Why doesn't Allison... Oh, Swedes show up.
And first thing they do is clock her right in the throat.
Yeah, the Swedes show up and attack them, and while Ray's getting his ass kicked, Allison gets the upper hand on one and then says to the other, I heard a rumor you killed your brother. Mm-hmm. So he does, and then they run out. So they didn't get to back together in time by the end, and Five Force throw the briefcase away, so the briefcase traveled to the new timeline, and they're all still stuck there.
Yep.
It was a good episode. We got three left.
Yep.
8, 9, and 10.
Yep.
Is that it for shows?
That's it for shows for me.
All right, did you watch any movies?
I did. I watched 4 movies.
Oh, I got 5. One was a documentary, though.
One was a documentary.
Technically, I only watched 4 new ones because my 5th one's Unknown Origins. So did you watch Unknown Origins?
I did.
And what did you think?
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too.
I thought it was good. It was cheesy and you know, predictable, but...
Especially the parts where the new detective is just, like, assumes all comic book fans are fat, out-of-shape nerds type of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. But, I liked it.
I enjoyed it. Cheesy dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Now, didn't they make the cosplaying head of homicide make sense?
Mm-hmm.
She's a seamstress.
Yep.
And this is one of her passions and stress reliefs.
Yep. And she sews the costumes for all these other nerds.
Yep. I enjoyed the movie.
I did, too. It was fun.
And then when we kind of get the superhero origin story at the end, and that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
If they did a sequel, I'd watch it.
Sure.
Oh, I did watch 5 movies. I didn't write one down.
Okay.
The word sequel reminded me.
So what else?
Well, I said earlier I watched Red Dragon. That popped up on Netflix. It's it's not the prequel to Silence of the Lambs. It's a movie that happens before Silence of the Lambs, because in order came out Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, and then the prequel to all of it, Hannibal Rising, was the last book the guy wrote. So I watched, and they had originally done a novel, a movie version of Red Dragon. They called it Mindhunter. Mm-hmm. And it was with, what's his name? He played Gil Grissom on CSI. Whatever, William something. Okay. It was with him. But this is with Hannibal Lecter, Edward Norton. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid flick.
Yep.
What'd you watch for a movie?
Well, I watched The Social Dilemma.
I did too.
What'd you think of this? Yeah, me too.
So
it was two movies.
It was a docudrama. So we had the documentary part, and then we had like actors acting their own little story.
It was like an ABC After School Special version
of whatever
was being talked about.
And basically, there was one line in there which I thought pretty much hit home. And my buddy Brandon's had a lot of issues with the internet lately, and so not the internet so much, but social media. Mm-hmm. And when he first started using the internet, what it was and what it's become, and how he likes it the way it was, and da 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 da. And there's a line in there, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was, we used to turn to the internet for information, and now all the internet brings us is disinformation.
Yep.
It's true.
Yep.
And my wife and I were discussing this, because part of it's a little bit scary, because you have kids now that have, like my kids, who don't know a world without the internet, and are introduced to the internet at a young age, like my 5-year-old, watching YouTube videos, and he's watching a Grand Theft Auto 5 video. He's not watching people actively kill each other. He's watching people play the game. But
in this case, they were trying to fly to the edge of the map.
They were trying to fly to the edge of the map, yeah. So you have kids now growing up in a world where we were introduced to social media as adults, and we were introduced to the internet as teenagers, but now they're being introduced to the internet as young adults. Well, not even young adults, but as tweens and children. Teenagers or children. And like, I know when I see a headline, if I read it or I read someone's commentary on it, if they're not a credible source, I take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm interested, I'll go look up a credible source to see what they have to say on it. Now, granted, media outlets like Fox News and CNN a lot of times have differing opinions, so you have to read both of them, and then you just basically come to your own conclusion based mm-hmm. on the information provided. I think, and not to sound like kids today, but I think kids today are watching that one video and taking it that is the gospel.
Mm-hmm. You would not be wrong in most cases.
It's like people who take the Bible and only really look at the passages that help feed their needs, or they look up data that only helps bolster their argument as opposed to looking at both sides of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. It's a little scary.
Yeah.
It's a little scary.
I really could have done without the drama part of it. Dramatizations were cheesy and over the top and kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I could have done without it too. Like the kid that his screen gets broken and he's like, I bet you can't last a week without your phone. If you can, I'll buy you a new screen. All right, you're on. I'm going to plug it in over here. Shut it off.
Yeah.
Why would you plug it in and leave it on?
In a drawer.
Yeah.
Or how about the fact that they're all having their dinner and she locked the stuff in that plastic container and her daughter takes a hammer, smashes it open, grabs her phone and walks away. And they're just like, oh, well.
Yeah. And in the process breaks his phone.
She broke his phone. She broke the container. Yeah. She broke the rules and just basically flipped off her parents, essentially.
And you have like, the one sister who like doesn't want anything to do with the internet.
Right.
Or social media.
Yeah. The dramatic part I could have done without. Yes. The rest of it, though, the information, the actual people who worked at the companies.
Yeah.
Was fascinating,
I thought it was
scary.
Fascinating and scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true because, like, here's the thing. I've gotten onto TikTok recently. I don't make videos, but I watch the stuff.
Sure.
And the algorithm has never been more prevalent than on that.
Yeah.
Because I'll sit there and I'll be watching videos about D&D constantly, D&D, and then an anime thing will get thrown in there and I'll like it. The next thing you know, there's more anime showing up.
Yep.
There's more D&D showing up. But people will joke on there and they'll be like, you know, oh, TikTok thinks that you need this. TikTok thinks that you need a therapist. If this showed up on your For You page, then they think that you're crazy. It's not wrong.
Well, you have these people that work for these companies. They work for Pinterest, or they work for Twitter, or the guy that invented the like button,
who thought this was just a way for people to go, hey, this is great, and not like what it's turned into, in his opinion.
Right.
But these people that work for these massive tech companies who are like, oh, my teenagers are not going to have social media till they're adults.
Yeah.
It reminds me of professional wrestlers who were like, oh, no, I don't want my kids wrestling.
Right.
If they did, I'll support them, but I don't want them getting into this business, you know? Or police officers who don't want their kids getting into law enforcement.
Right.
You know, that's the same type of scenario. I don't know. It's a little scary. It really does make you think. I think you're right, though. I think they need to get the docudrama shit out of it, because I think it takes away from the message and it distracts you from the message that it's trying to give you.
Because the whole thing was an hour and a half long. If they had cut the drama parts out,
it'd be about an hour.
It'd been about an hour and it would have been much better.
Now, do you think this is just one-sided? Do you think that there's not a good enough representation of both sides of the picture on this? Or do you think this is all...
What would be the other side?
It's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Oh.
There's no demonstrations of how social media could be good.
Oh, no. This is definitely one-sided. You know, they talk about... One guy in the very beginning says, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, we've connected lost loved ones and we've supported people and
yeah.
we found this and this. You know, and so it's a footnote. So it is definitely one-sided, but it's by design.
Yeah. It's just, it does make you think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little frightening.
Oh, yeah. These people were like, I value my privacy. No, you don't.
It does remind me of kind of what the internet was when it started.
Bulletin boards.
Bulletin boards, you know, dot alt.
Mm-hmm.
Message groups.
Yeah.
And it's sad, not sad, but it's Facebook, okay, And the internet has changed as well. Before, like, when we used the internet, like, what we used the internet for every day back then was message groups and bulletin boards and email. Mm-hmm. Now the primary usage of the internet is streaming TV and movies and games. Primarily.
And social media.
And social media. We don't use the internet.
Shopping.
And shopping.
Get it, shopping.
Yes, okay, absolutely shopping. We don't use the internet the way we used to use the internet.
Right.
And I do kind of miss the simplicity of what the World Wide Web was previously. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know how I could shut social media out. Because for me, to follow wrestling, for instance, wrestling news and information, I don't like going to wrestling websites anymore because there's so many fucking ads,
mm-hmm.
and I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
It bogs everything down. It fucking pop-ups galore, like pro wrestling tees. Every time you click on a fucking, like, oh, I want to look at this guy's shirts. Hey, here's our splash ad for 10% off if you do this. All right, I've already X'd out of this once. I don't want to X. Friends, it makes me not even want to go to that website.
Some of the sites that I go to recently, as soon as you go to move off the page,
yes.
a little pop-up comes and says, subscribe to our newsletter.
Yeah.
No, fuck off.
Or the fake, oh, hey, do you need to chat with someone over here? But no, I don't. Like, that's a deterrent to me as to why I don't even want to go to fucking websites anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wrestling companies don't even use websites anymore. Mm-hmm. They use Facebook and Twitter to publicize their shows. They use Facebook events to get the word out about their shows. So it's like, if I'm not using Facebook,
it's more effective and it's cheaper.
Yeah. If I'm not using Facebook, I'm not going to find out about these events,
right.
about these shows, plain and simple,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, so there's a frustration level there for me on that side of things, you know?
Oh yeah. If something new is going on, say in Final Fantasy 14,
yeah,
I'm getting it through either Instagram or Twitter.
Sure.
And then it's saying, go to our website for the full details.
Right.
Sure, I go there. But I'm not on their webpage unless I'm directed there.
Yeah, you're not just sitting down. Let me open up my laptop.
Because
that's the other thing people don't do is sit down in front of the computers unless it's work-related.
It's phones.
Because you're sitting on the couch. You can sit on the couch and look at your phone or your tablet. My wife took Facebook off her phone, and she only uses it on her tablet now to try and stop from just looking at it mindlessly anymore.
Right.
Throughout the course of the day and everything. But yeah, it's like if you're not looking at social media, then you're not keeping up with things. Mm-hmm. And as adults, we can filter through the nonsense. But even then, a lot of adults can't.
Right.
But fucking kids don't stand a chance. They really don't.
They do not.
It's worth watching.
Yeah.
Because it does make you think.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely got some good information. I would strongly recommend everybody watch it. Just realize that the dramatizations are kind of cheesy.
Yeah. I watched Four Rooms. Kane and I had a kind of a movie night. I had gotten Four Rooms. I bought a used copy on DVD a while back. It's the one with Tim Roth as the bellhop.
Oh, yes.
It's an anthology movie. He's a bellhop. His first night at this old hotel on New Year's Eve. Yep. There's five stories total, but there's four primary stories in the movie. And each story is written and directed by a different person. Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino each do their own story. The other two, I can't remember who's wrote and directed them. But, I mean, it's star like Madonna's in it, Bruce Willis is in it, Antonio Banderas is in it. Salma Hayek kind of plays an unknown character off screen as the dancing girl on the TV. I mean, Marissa Tomei's in it, Kathy Griffin's in it. I mean, it's a huge fucking cast. Mm-hmm. Rotten Tomatoes is giving like a 13%. Pretty bad. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Did the kid enjoy it?
He did. He thought it was interesting. The best story in his mind was the Quentin Tarantino story at the end where he chops off the guy's finger.
That makes sense. That'll track, yeah.
But it's just, that's a movie I haven't seen in a while, and I like Quentin Tarantino flicks. Mm-hmm. I like them all. I like a lot of Robert Rodriguez flicks. I don't like all of them. So it's a real good kind of bridge of the gap for those two stories by having that one movie because they both had a part. It's kind of like the same thing with the Grindhouse movies that they did. So.
Right.
What'd you watch for movies?
The only other two movies that I watched, I have to talk about back to back with each other, and I have a feeling you will as well. I've rewatched The Babysitter.
Correct.
And then I watched The Babysitter Killer Queen.
Correct. So I watched both of those, and I watched another movie.
What was the other movie?
Message from the King. No, Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, okay.
It's a Netflix original. It came out in 2017, actually.
Okay.
And ever since his death, and then they piled a bunch of, I'm going to say, Black Lives Matter movies on there, but his death as well. It's been in my queue. Like, you would like this. You would like this. You would like this. You would like this.
Was it good?
It was excellent.
Yeah.
It's basically about Chadwick Boseman plays a man that shows up in L.A. Looking for his sister. He's from Cape Town, South Africa. And his sister got messed up with some people. And I'm not going to say anything more than that because you need to watch it.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
It's been out long enough that next week we can just tell the ending, but
sure.
It's been off my radar. It's a, like I said, it's a Netflix original. And finally, I was like, you know, I'm going to watch this. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's a little bit long.
Wow.
143 minutes, you know.
Okay.
But it kind of flew by like that.
Cool.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And it makes you really appreciate the talent that he had. So, but anyways, yes, Babysitter, Babysitter 2, or Babysitter Killer Queen.
Okay. So I don't think we should dig too deep into Killer Queen because it just came out this past week.
Sure.
However, I will say this. I rewatched The Babysitter.
Yep.
I had forgotten some stuff from it.
I had to.
It had been a while back.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I will say about The Babysitter, it's a solid fucking movie.
It really is.
It kind of like Happy Death Day, where yes. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yes. That's a great description.
This movie was, it was great. It was not an Academy Award winning movie.
No.
It's not something that I would say everybody would like, but if you like a good, over the top, cheesy, ridiculous horror movie, but not like Pieces.
Yeah.
Like one that kind of tongue in cheeks itself.
Like Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has fun with itself, but it also has a serious story to tell, kind of. It was phenomenal. It was a great movie. It was fun.
Yeah.
I loved some of the things like Robbie Amell's character.
Yes.
A shirt, and the
yes.
kids kept saying, why doesn't he have a shirt? And they're like, come on, look at him. And he's like, yeah, but that doesn't explain. Why doesn't he have a shirt? It was great.
And in the sequel, he even makes a combo. Well, the guy that just isn't wearing a shirt for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
So this is a solid movie. It's basically a kid. He's a nerdy kid. He gets picked on. He has a babysitter. He's like 15 or 14.
He's like 12, I think. Or
no, I think he's 14.
Oh yeah, 14 makes sense actually.
Yeah, because 14, 2 years later, yes. And he's a
because that's the other thing. He's too old for a babysitter.
Yes, so he's 14. He doesn't need a babysitter, but he still has B, the babysitter, played by Samara Weaving.
Yeah,
and you know, she's probably, I'd say, 20.
Sure,
21.
Yeah.
He always has fun with her. She is a cool shit.
She is.
Legitimately is. It's not just that she's like, you know, the hot girl. She legitimately knows nerdy stuff. She gets along with him. She empowers him. She picks on the bullies that pick on him. You know, she is a cool shit. Turns out that there's some dark stuff going on as well. But again, it's fun and it's over the top and it's ridiculous. I loved it.
I did the Babysitter?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. This is one that I could see myself watching like every Halloween or something. Like this would be a tradition movie for me.
I'm just waiting for the foot. I'm just waiting for you to talk about Killer Queen now.
So Killer Queen takes place with the same actors.
A couple years later.
2 years later. I fucking loved it.
I did too. Okay. I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if you're giving the bill to Killer Queen fucking sucked. Nope. Or I'm like, no, it didn't.
Killer Queen, some of the effects on it seemed like they downgraded. It seemed like it was a bit cheesy.
A little bit lower budget.
Yeah. And they definitely went for more like funny gross scares, like the splashing of blood in people's faces was over the top at times.
Here's my comparison. If you liked Happy Death Day and then you watched Happy Death Day 2 and holy shit, that was great too. Same scenario.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie was just great.
Same. These two movies, not officially, but definitely worked their way into my Halloween rotation.
Goddamn
right. With Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day 2.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I 100% agree. In fact, my first thought was, I need to buy this. And then I thought, it's a Netflix movie. I can't buy it.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully Netflix just keeps it on there forever. Because
you would think it would. You would hope they would.
That was great. This is a horror movie for horror movie fans. And it's also a comedy and a bit of a love story.
Yes.
But I got to say, we'll talk more off camera. I adored this movie and I really loved the direction that they went in. By the end of it, I actually almost had tears in my eyes by the end of it.
I'll actually agree with that.
It was very touching. Like, they turned a horror movie into something that was touching. And we introduced a new character, Jenna Ortega, who we know most recently from You, Season 2.
Yes.
Cool chick. I liked her.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie very much. I look forward to... I doubt they'll do a third one.
I wouldn't put it past them.
But I was surprised they did a second one.
I read an article today about they still want to make a third Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
And the guys already got it planned out. Jason Blum wants it, but they can't do it right now.
Sure.
But he said that this one would not take place on the same day. It would have something different going on. God, I got to watch those movies again now too.
Yeah. As we were talking about this one, I'm like, I got to watch that.
I saw a thing the other day. It was on Vudu or Movies Anywhere. And it was like, you could buy a 2-pack of them for like, it was Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You. And it was like $10. But I already own Happy Death Day, so I wasn't going to pay $10 for the second one.
Anyway. Sure.
Anyway. But that's all the movies that I watched.
Yeah, I'm all out of movies.
I'm all out of movies.
I'm all out of love.
So, unlike last week, I actually made a comment to you at one point. There were a lot of fucking trailers this week.
Yeah, there were. Shit ton of trailers this week.
Some of them don't really need to be talked about a lot. The first one I sent you was Rebecca. It's based on an old book, apparently.
Yeah.
Not really. Moving right along. Star Trek Discovery Season 3.
That looked great.
Looks fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it does.
Can't wait for that. Funny, I sent you the trailer for The Social Dilemma. We already watched it.
Yeah, so. I was surprised. Like, oh, hey. Or did I send you that trailer? Did you send it to me?
No, I sent it to you.
I must send it to somebody else after.
A Teacher.
Yeah.
Looks kind of creepy.
It does look kind of creepy.
Kate Mara is basically a teacher who has an inappropriate affair with one of her students.
Yeah.
Not that there's an appropriate affair with a student.
There's no appropriate affair, yeah. Yeah, but it's what you say.
Looks creepy. Looks like a Hallmark movie, but it's going to be on Hulu, so.
Yeah.
Dune.
Okay, so I watched the Dune trailer. And here's what I tried a couple years ago, before I started school again, I tried to read Dune.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't fucking do
it. Oh, Jesus, dude. It's dense.
It's so bad. And I was talking to Martin, actually, about it back then. And he was basically like, I think he had read it. But he completely gets, like, why people couldn't read it or get through it. Mm-hmm. Where at the same time, Aaron had said, basically, like, I tried to read it as well. And I just couldn't.
It's like The Stand.
Yeah.
The Stand is so fucking thick.
Which I have read.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with The Stand, at least, is, like, they don't, like, Dune makes up its own words to describe things, makes up its own vocabulary, makes it so, and it's one thing if you take a bottle and you call it a Pluto.
Yeah.
But when everything has its own name, now you have to try to remember what this stands for. That's where
it's almost like learning another language, yes, in addition to reading a book.
Yes. And that's, thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember watching the original Dune years ago and just being like, why do people like this?
Yeah.
This, on the other hand, looks interesting.
Yep.
I'll definitely give it a shot.
Absolutely.
But
it's considered a sci-fi classic.
Yes. So maybe, but that's why I tried to read it.
Enough now that we'll appreciate it more.
I don't know.
You sent me one.
I don't know.
The Boys in the Band.
I know I did. I'm trying to think of what it was about. Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a Netflix flick. It's got Jim Parsons in it.
Yep.
It takes place in the 60s, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on a play.
Yep.
Of a group of gay friends who reunite to celebrate someone's birthday.
Yep.
And when the host, potentially closeted college roommate, shows up uninvited, the evening is thrown into turmoil. But it's got Jim Parsons, Zachary Quinto, Matt Boomer. Unbelievable cast.
Unbelievable cast of gay actors.
Yes.
Which is great.
And it comes out September 30th on Netflix. And I'm actually looking forward to watching it.
Yeah. I sent you one for Soulmates.
Yes.
I think looks really interesting. It's an AMC series. So it could either be really dark like Devs was, or it could be like Walking Dead, or I don't know. But basically, it's a world where you can take a test and they will tell you who your soulmate is.
Yep.
Nothing could go wrong with that. It always makes me think back. I don't know if you remember this or not, but that show Dinosaurs, you know, with the...
Oh, Not the Mama? Yeah, Not the Mama.
One of the last episodes had to do with, like,
oh,
when you hit puberty and you have a scent, and the daughter got her scent and everybody thought she was gross except for, like, the janitor. And he was like, oh, yeah. And they were mortified that, you know, that was her soulmate. So that's what I thought of when I saw this. Freaky.
Yeah. Well, it's from Blumhouse. It's from the people that made Happy Death Day. Vince Vaughn. And who's the girl?
I didn't recognize her.
But basically, he's a serial killer.
Catherine Newton.
And you know Freaky Friday? I'm saying this to you, but you're familiar, yes, with Freaky Friday, where the two people trade places or... Uh-huh. Or whatever. It's one of those.
It's the hot chick with
it's
Rob Schneider.
And yes. It looks great.
It does, because he is a serial killer and he switches bodies with her. So now she's in his body and everybody's looking for this body of a serial killer. Meanwhile, he's in her body continuing to serial kill.
Yes.
It's awesome. I cannot wait for that. Cannot wait. Okay. Hubie Halloween.
All right, so there's parts of it that I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it as well.
It's like he took characters from Billy Madison and
Waterboy
and kind of combined it to make a movie about a guy who's got on this level, who's on the spectrum, and he's an adult, and he just loves him some Halloween. And some people in the town respect him, other people in the town think he's a fucking putz.
Yep. And then some bad stuff starts happening around Halloween, and he's the only one that can save them all.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
It's Adam Sandler. Don't think we mentioned that. Monsterland.
This looks fucking great.
Yeah.
It's an anthology series.
Uh-huh.
I'm very excited about this, and they're dropping all the episodes on one day.
Yes. Beginning of October. It's like October 9th or something.
Yeah, right off. So we'll figure out how we're going to watch that when
it'll comes depend out. On how many episodes.
October 2nd.
Okay, October 2nd.
And it's 8 episodes.
Okay.
So if we watch 2 a week, we'll get it done before Halloween type of thing.
It's true. Yep. The last one I sent you today.
Real quick. Sure. So each episode takes place in a different town.
Ooh, nice. Even better.
So like first episode is Port Fortune, Louisiana. And then Eugene, Oregon, New Orleans, Louisiana, New York, Plainfield, Illinois, Palacois, Texas, Iron River, Michigan, and Newark, New Jersey. And each episode is directed by someone different, essentially.
Okay.
And then basically Barry Laws wrote most of the episodes. So it's definitely something I'm looking forward to checking out.
Yeah, my one hope is that it doesn't end up being another, what was it, like Into the Dark or something, which you remember how Hulu had that one every month.
Which sucks because that was from Blumhouse.
Yeah.
Which they have those movies coming out on Amazon Prime here in October
as
well.
And there were like one or two that were okay, but the rest of it was just like, ugh. So that's my one hope for
that. No, this does look really good.
So the last trailer that I sent you today, I'm surprised I didn't get a reaction from you.
Oh, you want to know why? I forgot to watch it.
Oh.
You sent it to me, and I was at work teaching at the Academy, and I cleared the notification on my watch, and I forgot to go back and check it out. What was the trailer for?
I'm certain that you don't need any introduction. It's a documentary called Hail to the Deadites.
Yes.
And it's an entire documentary just about fans of the Evil Dead.
Yeah, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah. It's got interviews with Bruce Campbell, and, you know, he has some good lines in there where he's just like, you know, we are giving you guys what you want. You wanted more of this, we're giving you more of this. They've got costume contests. They've got people who it's like all over their house.
Yeah.
They've got a guy who was told growing up that he looked like Bruce Campbell, so he cosplays Ash all the time. Like, they have footage from conventions where all the original actresses are there, and they're like, we had no idea it was going to be this big. It's going to be awesome, dude. It's just fucking great.
Yeah, I know. It looks pretty fucking awesome, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. I sent that, and I'm like, I'm waiting for a response. I'm like, I know he's at work, but Jesus.
I was like, teaching
like,
at
all the things. Yeah. This is the fucking Evil Dead documentary. So. Any other trailers from you?
No.
I didn't think so. Usually we send them to each other. So.
Right.
News. What you got for news?
Nothing.
Nothing? Oh, wow. I got a few things.
Yeah.
This, neither one of us watches this, but I thought it was important to bring up Venture Brothers. It's an Adult Swim animated show. It's kind of goofy, over the top. It's been canceled after 17 years on the air.
What channel is that on?
Adult Swim.
Adult Swim. Okay.
Yep. That's a long time.
It's been going
for 17 years and it was canceled. They canceled another one of theirs, but I didn't. Walking Dead is finally ending.
Oh, okay.
You know that Supernatural is ending this season.
Well, it was supposed to end already, but then COVID prevented them from finishing filming. Yeah.
So you know how they always had those traditions of, you know, most actors and actresses, if they've been on a show.
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So Jensen Ackles is getting Baby.
Yeah.
He's getting the Impala.
He's getting one of these several Impalas they used. Yeah.
Right. But he gets to take that home with him. That's pretty fucking cool.
I think that is cool as shit. Yeah.
You know what's not cool as shit?
No.
This is actually moving forward. This isn't just an idea. They're actually moving forward on this. They're making a RoboCop TV series.
They did it before.
Nope. Hold on. I forgot one word. They're making a RoboCop prequel TV series.
So Murphy as a cop in Detroit?
Oh, wouldn't that make sense? No. This is going to focus on Dick Jones, the head of OCP. Yeah. Yeah, I stroked out too when I read that. But my buddy John, who is a huge RoboCop fan, was like, honestly, John, you gave me the name of this guy, and I don't know who he is. And I was like, I had to look it up, and I'm like,
Dick Jones?
I'm like,
he was the head of OCP.
He's the head of OCP, and he's like, why would we want a movie about him or a TV series about him? I'm like, we wouldn't. I don't know who the fuck decided this.
But here's the thing. Dick Jones actually isn't the old man who is the head of OCP. He was the number two of OCP that RoboCop shoots out the window at the end of the first movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for some reason, we're getting a TV series about him. Prequel to RoboCop.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Whoever asked for that? Nobody did.
Who sat down?
That would
was
be
like
saying,
from the first RoboCop, who can we, let's make a prequel to this movie on that. Who are we going to make it about?
Clarence Boddicker.
Oh, Clarence Boddicker. Oh, you mean this ruthless killer and his gang? Nah, no one would watch that. Murphy as a cop before? We could get the whole build-up. Not really. You know what? Dick Jones. Who? You know, the guy RoboCop kills at the end of the first one. Yeah, the piece of shit ahead of OCP who's second number two and he gets fired at the end. So RoboCop goes, thank you, and falls out the window and falls to his death. Yeah, let's learn about his life. No.
Yeah.
No.
It would be like saying, let's make a prequel movie about one of the parents who decided to murder Fred Krueger.
Hey, let's make a prequel movie from the movie Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead about the babysitter. what her life was like before she got to that household.
Let's do it.
You
I've
know?
Been wondering. Yeah, so that's fucking crazy. Along those lines, they're moving forward. They've done a 10-episode order at Disney Plus for the reboot of Doogie Howser MD, featuring a young female doctor.
Okay.
I got nothing. To nobody's surprise, after everything they've been adding lately, Neve Campbell finally came on social media and said, "Oh yeah, I'm coming back for Scream 5 too." I mean,
Brandon loves the Scream franchise, so
it would have carried more weight if she had done it at the beginning before they got literally everybody else involved.
Right. Now it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, like I was saying, we were kind of chatting about it, and one of the things I said what they needed to do with Scream 5 was kill Neve Campbell at the beginning of the movie, like they killed Drew Barrymore's character at the beginning of the original, and move on.
Right.
Move on from her character. Kill her, get it done, and move on with a new story, new cast, new whatever.
I could see that. This just broke today, but it was showing up on a lot of sites, so I wanted to make sure to talk about it. Jonathan Majors. Right now, he's the main character in Lovecraft Country.
Oh, okay.
Which we're not watching. I'm restraining myself. He's been cast for Ant-Man 3, and it looks like he's going to be Kang the Conqueror, which could mean that he's the next Thanos.
Hmm.
Yeah. They didn't say if he was going to be the primary villain of Ant-Man 3 or if he was just Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man 3.
But interesting.
Kang could be a great next mega villain because, you know, he's from the 31st century.
Yeah.
He's a time traveler. He's a master tactician. He's conquered countless worlds, timelines, etc. Also, in comics lore, of course they'll change it, but in comics lore, one of his things that he did was he went back in time to ancient Egypt and became a pharaoh, and he created Apocalypse, the first mutant. So that could be a way to introduce the X-Men, the mutants.
Yeah.
It's also, he was a foil a lot of times for the Fantastic Four.
Yep.
So, in fact, his true identity is Nathaniel Richards, which is also the name of Reed Richards and Sue Storm's kid. So he thinks that he's descended from them. Could be. So that's interesting.
So real quick.
Yeah.
I did remember I saw this, that Wonder Woman got pushed back to Christmas now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. Our last Marvel movie that came out was Spider-Man Far From Home in July 2019.
Wow.
And the next one is now November 6th still, if it's Black Widow still comes out that day.
Maybe. Well, I think they're testing Mulan to see if it's going to work. You know, that's my theory right now. If it works, then they might do the theater and home. I mean, Tenet made $200 million in the theaters recently. So people are still going to the theaters.
Is that worldwide or U.S. domestic?
Worldwide. Yeah.
So, well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, do you know anyone that's gone and watched New Mutants yet?
Nope.
Neither do I.
Nope. Not at all.
And it's weird seeing, like, even though there's new movies coming out in the theaters, the drive-ins around here really aren't showing them.
Nope, they're not.
You know, like, I think Sacco Drive-In has showed Tenet this past weekend, but, like, none of them are showing, like, New Mutants. As a matter of fact, if you look at Pride's Corner Drive-In, their schedule is still showing classic. They're going to start showing fucking Harry Potter. And
wasn't Westbrook, didn't they do Bill and Ted? Or was it Skowhegan?
That's Pride's Corner. No, Skowhegan, I think, did Bill and Ted.
Yeah, because
they only did it, like, one night.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
Probably cost them an arm and a leg.
I you wouldn't think it would, but maybe they're like, fuck, we're making more money on the concerts and showing classic movies than we are showing,
right?
You know, first run.
So I saved this for the last piece of news.
Okay.
Because this is just phenomenal.
I don't know if you can top the RoboCop's prequel with Dick Jones, but...
Well, this is phenomenal in a good way.
Why don't you give it a try then?
Okay. So 3 years ago, of course, we lost Adam West.
Yeah.
It was tragic.
Yes.
As I'm sure you remember, he had a recurring role on Family Guy as the mayor, Mayor yes. Adam West. He played himself, but a goofier version of himself. But he was yes. himself. He was Adam West. Or, you know, when he ran out of light bright bricks, he was Adam Wee. Well, they finally decided that it's time to really replace him as mayor. And so they threw around some ideas, and the one that they settled on, they went and talked to, was Sam Elliott.
Really?
They said, this is what we want to do. We want to replace the mayor of Quahog, and we want it to be you, Sam Elliott. And he said, no, I don't want him. And they said, why not? And he goes, because I don't want to just go and play myself on an animated show. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. I don't want to do that. Sorry. Thanks. Pass. So he passed.
Oh, okay.
So they went back to the drawing board.
It's a little sad.
Well, there's a happy ending.
Okay.
Because they went back to the drawing board and said, you know, he brings up a good point. Let's brainstorm. So they came up with a new character. This new character is going to be an absolutely over-the-top cowboy stereotype whose parents, he's Adam West's cousin, and his parents tragically gave him the first and middle name of Wild. So he will now be voiced by Sam Elliott, who said, oh, fuck yeah, I'll do that. And his name will be Wild Wild West. And he will be the new mayor of Quahog.
Okay. All right. That is a happy ending.
They brought that back to him, and he goes, now that's what I'm talking about. So Sam Elliott will be Wild Wild West, the new mayor of Quahog. And I couldn't fucking love it more.
Nice. All right, I can get behind that.
Especially considering he turned it down the first time because he didn't want to just play himself. And they said, well, here's a cartoonish, over-the-top cowboy. And he goes, okay, that's more like it. Yeah!
All right. I can get behind that. Absolutely.
So that's what I got this week.
All right. Well, I guess that's everything I got this week as well.
Cool. Are you on the social media?
Right now? Well, you talked about...
No, that's how we sign off the show.
Oh, I am. I am still. Right now.
He's browsing his
Well, I was all of a sudden, I was like, oh, when's fucking season 3 of The Orville coming out? And I was trying to find it because I really want to watch it. I'm on the Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's a show.
Thank you. Talk to you later.